Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Interested in hearing what you have to say. I like talking to the people. I like talking through the people. I like talking past and over the people. But I need you people to spark something in me and then get out of the way.
Well, now that you're a father, this must be the ideal situation until the little ones start speaking. This is the perfect audience for you, right?
Right.
You can just talk and talk, no response.
That's right.
You assume they're absorbing all your genius.
Tracy Metro in studio. Tracy filling in for Teresa today.
Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
Good to see you.
Congratulations. I haven't seen you since the blessed day.
Thank you. Teresa is in New York. She's doing like Good Morning America or something like that. Her show comes out tonight.
Six part. 10 p.m. tonight on ABC.
We'll be watching. I saw a commercial for that, so we're going to check in with her. And I guess she's back tomorrow.
Right. She's taking a red eye or something.
So
red eye only goes, believe it or not, west to east, not to correct you.
Wow. I'm not going to stand.
Wow, that is a slap in the face.
This early on a Monday?
Hit him with a folding chair? Because at least he'd have his dignity. Wow. What was that, Dave? Do you know what that was?
I mean, the only word that comes to mind is attack.
I felt threatened.
I opened up a can of whoop ass.
Good day, sir.
I didn't even know. I just need a minute here because I don't know what that was.
Take it back.
It's taken back, but you know what?
All right.
Let's just move forward.
After the fact, it's taken back. Leave it at that, please.
We took the kitties home from the hospital yesterday. Yes, me and Oswaldo went over there and packed them up.
He didn't get to keep one, did he?
I let him borrow one for the weekend, but I hope he understood. He has to bring her back. I'm going to call him after the show and just make sure. Actually, he's coming in. He's going to review the Prairie Home Companion, which ought to be awesome. Couple of things. When I was packing up the hospital room, I am a weirdo with waste. I don't like things wasted. Mm-hmm. I like stuff recycled. I feel like I have to defend myself because I think a lot of people think I only look out for me. Mm-hmm. The thing about, I'd say the biggest knock against the Ace Man is he's all about the Ace Man. Oh, Adam's not so interested in what's going on with your life, your kids, your whatever. That's completely true. Mm-hmm. Completely true. Maybe even more. I'm putting on a good face about it. I mean, I'm putting on a front, and you can still tell I don't care. Imagine how I feel deep inside.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Wow. But the point is, I will say this about...
So true.
I will say, I am attempting to act like I care, and you can still tell right. that I don't care at all. But I will say this about me. I'm the kind of guy who will walk down the street, there'll be some garbage on the street, I'll pick it up and walk it over the garbage can and throw it away. If I go to the sink here in the common area and there's a couple of wine glasses that were left out, I'll just start rinsing them out during the commercial. I'm not a neat freak. I don't like stuff wasted. I'm the guy at work that always wants the recycle box put in so I don't have to throw all the paper into the garbage can or all the soda cans into the garbage can. Not because I love the planet, not because I love people, not because I love recycling. I just don't like waste. It's a weird thing. It bothers me. I have this gene. I don't like lights being on when I'm not in the room, even if I'm not paying for the whatever, I'll go into public bathrooms sometimes and shut the light on my way out and that kind of stuff. I don't like it. So now I really base it. Yes, Tracy.
I'm curious if you're a closet environmentalist.
I am. I believe I've stumped you. I'm not an environmentalist. On the other hand, I don't think anyone has the right to screw up the planet. And when I see people, you know, take their ashtray full of butts that they've been smoking in their car and accumulating and then just empty it out in one spot on the curb, I'd like a bullet put through that J.O.'s head.
Yes.
When I see people go down the street and just sort of push garbage out the window of the car, it's like, really?
Where were you educated? Who reared you?
There is a donkey and reared back and hit him in the head. That's the only rearing that went on. It drives me insane, and it's a kind of a narcissism that there's two types of narcissism. There's a I'm the greatest in the world narcissism. You know, there's Oprah Winfrey narcissism, and then there's the I'm the only one in the world narcissism. I hate myself. I hate all you. There's only one me. I'll throw my garbage where I please. I don't want to drive 10 feet with this McDonald's wrappers in my car. I'll just chuck it out the window. Someone else will get it. That kind of stuff drives me berserk. And but now a lot of my waste is based on what stuff costs. Like when I go to the movie, I get a bottle of water at the movie now, and it's $4. And I'm walking out of the movie, and there's, you know, an inch and a half left on the bottom, and my wife's going to leave it in the holder, and I'm like, oh, no, we're bringing that out with us to the car. Why? Because there it's 72 cents a swig, and there's four swigs left at the bottom of this thing. Yeah, it's a nickel worth of water. It's a nickel worth of water, but I paid it $4 for it, so we're bringing it. It's now worth something all of a sudden. Like, I would never go, I'd go to a frat party and not finish a beer, but I'd never go to a ball game where I spent $8 for a beer and leave half a beer in the thing. I'll never have that much money. So now we're at the hospital and we're cleaning out the room. We're getting the flowers together and the cards. She's been in there for 4 days, stuffed animals, everything. I find a box of cereal and a box of milk and a couple other items, like a stuff she didn't get to over the course of her breakfast or whatever. This is coming with us. Really? You can't leave the variety pack of Special K? No, I can't, because I know that was $22.75. Exactly. Somewhere on there, that breakfast, those breakfasts were $80 a piece, and all you got was cereal, OJ, and this. This is coming. Really? You can't leave? And what about the little box of milk that's worth 10 cents on the school yard? Oh, that is, it's still cold to the touch. That's Ozzy, pack it up. I'm packing up chapstick and little, what looked like little. Man, you know when you go to a fast food place, they give you a little mayonnaise dispenser? That with Vaseline in it. There is less than a penny's worth of Vaseline. But I know I paid $17.25. I'm paying NASA military-type prices for this stuff. That toilet seat's $10,000. It's coming with us.
My girlfriend had a baby at the same hospital you had your baby. Mm-hmm. They put on these funky little undies they give you. They're like perforated in way. $50.
I was pulling, I was rolling the linoleum up on the floor. We actually had to move the bed to one side of the room so I could roll the linoleum. Ozzy put it on top. I steamed the wallpaper off. I didn't take the actual light bulbs because I knew they would miss those. I took the filaments out of the light bulbs. I undid them. I took the tungsten steel out of them. They don't work now, but I put them back. You can't tell. I stripped that place.
Well, it's the same thing with, I guess I do the same thing. I'm a pack rat, or maybe it's just called cheap, but I do the, like, whenever I move from place to place, I find buried in a box back, like I put it in, that's the first thing that went in when I moved in, and then when I'm moving out, I have like 17 bottles of shampoo with about like a quarter of shampoo left in it, but I would shame the devil if I'd ever throw any of them away.
Well, the other thing, too,
they'll never be you.
Stuff is getting too nice and too cheap and too whatever. You get this stuff, take boxes, for instance. I got a thing of cigars and a Sopranos cigar box. You look at the cigar box. Now, they paid some kid who had with a missing leg because he stepped on a landmine in Indonesia, 8 cents to make it. That's all it's worth, and you'll never use it, but it's a nice-looking thing. I could keep my weed in there. I could put my cufflinks and my weed in there. I'm not throwing this box away. Everything that showed up to Lynette's hospital room was in some sort of wicker, decorative, something, something, something. And I said to myself, we can't just chuck this. It's nice.
Right.
At a certain point, this is the Oz man at his best, by the way. I said to Ozzy, there was one big basket sent to us, one big, like picnic basket, like wicker woven picnic basket. I cleaned it out. I took all the, you know, the spreads and all the cheese and all the crackers and stuff. I took it all out and I looked at it and I got realistic for a second. I said, this can stay. I'm not going to drag this thing's the size of a steamer trunk. I'm not going to drag it home so it can sit in my house for two months and then I'll throw it away. I said, I'm leaving it. And Ozzy said, you leave? And I said, yeah, it's no good. It's empty. I take it for me. I said, knock yourself out, Ozzy. Go ahead. He packs it up in the truck. Comes to the house, unpacks everything. I leave. I'm walking out, sitting on top of my trash can when I come out last night. Thanks, Oz, man. Thank you for that. I wanted to leave it there, but you want to take it to my house. And by the way, it doesn't fit into the trash can, and you can't throw trash away anymore. There's no such thing as hauling trash to the curb anymore. If it doesn't fit in the green, the blue, or the brown can, it ain't going. So
I'd like that story even better if it fits. Now that you got a second look at it sitting atop your garbage can, you decide, I need that, and took it inside.
No, but I have to call large item pickup to come get it now.
By the way, so let's talk about this. So the babies came home. First of all, you're here now. You've left them. You're at work. Do you miss the babies?
No.
Did you sleep last night?
Yes. The babies came home yesterday afternoon.
Was it exciting when you brought them in?
It was, except for Lynette was feeling a little overwhelmed and had started to like, where's this and where's that? And I was not as good as I could have been because I have been building. I do everything around the house. I build everything. I cook most everything. I pay for everything else, cleaning and all that kind of stuff. And I'd built the house for about 2 years that we live in. And I almost killed myself building it. I almost had a nervous breakdown. And she never lifted a finger. She never did anything. And she just sort of told me clearly, look, you bought the house. I'm not interested in this stuff. Now go knock yourself out.
And in fact, tried to stop you from doing too much. Enough's enough, right? Aren't these the things she said to you?
She would say stuff like, where are you going? It's Saturday morning. I'm going to the house to swing doors. I got to hang doors. She said, relax. I said, what do you mean relax? The mortgage is like 20 grand a month. It's just sitting up there. I need to finish it. I need to get over there. Well, let someone else do it. You know, this weird kind of pie in the sky, whatever. I don't know anyone else who can do it. I don't trust other people to do it. And they're doing other stuff. And I got to finish this house. It's costing me thousands of dollars a day. We're living in this house. I got to finish that. Well, I'm going back to bed. So I always said to her, look, when we have kids, it's game on. Revenge is a dish best served cold, in the form of the twins. I said, all right, when these kids come, now that's your house, and I'll be over here. Knock yourself out. So anyway, the twins came home. She was running around. She was trying to figure out where the changing table was going to be, and she was like, we don't have any moist towelettes. We don't have any wipes. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? We better go find some.
Oh, you're harsh.
Well, I've been waiting for a couple of years. That's all. That's
Sonny
all.
And Natalia. And by the way, for anybody who missed out, the names of the little ones. Now, has Natalia already adopted? Have you given her a shorter nickname yet?
No, but it's Natalia.
All right. See, right out of the gate, you don't like Laura and Laura, and now I say it wrong. You immediately correct me.
But I don't like
you
that
attacked
there's,
me.
I don't like that there's two names.
Take it back.
I'm sorry, David.
All right.
Natalia, just because there is no Natalia, as far as I
Natalia
can tell.
Natalia isn't a name? Natalia. All right.
Yeah.
Could
know.
Be Tally.
Talia
is cute.
Talia Shire is
right.
A Natalia.
Ooh.
And there's also a hot actress named Natalia Segluti.
Segluti!
Named it after. Her after. The kids are great. Kimmel and Sarah came over. Of course, right when Lynette is crying. I don't know why. That always, it's like, it's everyone's cue. It's like, as soon as you break out the joint, the stepmom comes up the driveway. You know, how does that work? I'm sitting on the sofa. Lynette's sitting on the sofa. Lynette is overwhelmed. The kids are crying. Lynette's been running around. She's feeling out of it. She just breaks down in a heap of tears on the sofa. I'm sort of looking at her. And here literally, not up the driveway, into the room. Jimmy had let himself in, and just Ozzy let him in or whatever, and they just come walking in. Lynette's just a pile of tears, and of course, Kimmel looks at her and then looks at me, and Sarah looks at me like, you pig. Really? She's been home for 5 minutes. The babies are still warm, and you're pulling this crap. What'd you do? Were you beating her?
The babies are still warm. They probably will be for a little while.
I don't know how it works.
Does she have postpartum, do you think?
No, she was overwhelmed. Then, you know, some of her girlfriends came over and got things organized and situated and all that kind of stuff. And she's back on. The other thing that makes me a horrible human being, too, is she had a C-section Wednesday in the wee hours, like 8 a.m., 8:30 in the morning. So now it's Sunday. And she's like, the doctor says I'm not supposed to go up and down the stairs. And the doctor says I shouldn't be driving for 2 weeks. And so here's, you know, but it's always like this with me. The doctor says I shouldn't be driving for 2 weeks. Oh, does he know you have an automatic? What? Well, you have an automatic. So? Well, it's, you know, just, you know, can you push your right foot down an inch and a half? What do you mean? I'm just saying, you know, Archie Manning played almost his whole career with a cast on his left forearm. Oh, you don't know? He was a Saints player. Well, look, anyway, the point is, I mean, I've driven your...
Youngblood played a Super Bowl with a broken leg.
You know, those NASCAR guys, they get fractured ribs on, and that's just during the speed trial stuff. I mean, that's when they're qualifying on a Saturday. Sunday, they take the needle and they're back in the car. Those cars are sticks.
Take a page from Cowboy Bob Orton, WWF star. He had a cast on his arm his entire wrestling career. He made lemonade out of lemons. He used it as a weapon.
Yeah, I'm not saying use the Volvo as a battering ram, but I am saying...
But you're not saying that.
I'm saying, see how you feel after 3 or 4 days. And if you think you can drive, then yeah.
Honey, you're in trouble.
I know.
Seriously.
I know. It's horrible.
Okay, so I brought you presents.
You did.
Oh. I did.
And they're orange. They're wrapped in orange.
They are.
But you're not wearing orange, I notice.
I am not.
Miranda?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh, there you go, baby. What's up?
Nothing. I was just calling because I heard you guys had twins. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have twins in my belly right now.
Oh, they're in the belly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Anyways, me and my fiance were thinking of names, and mm-hmm. everybody—I don't know if you went through this—but everybody, my mother, my sisters, they all have their own ideas of what the name should be.
Sure.
And every name that I come up with is wrong. Mm. And like,
what have you come up with so far? I'm opening Tracy Kayla, Metro's gift. Yes.
Kayla, Joe, and Raina, and we need to figure out a middle name for Raina. But we can't figure out.
Well, here's what you need to do.
Okay.
Are you okay, Miranda?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Okay.
Contractions.
What's your husband do for a living?
He was an electrician. He's trying to get a job in construction right now.
All right.
Is there any jobs around here?
No jobs.
No.
So you have,
good
and
job.
He's your fiance.
Yeah.
And so he's got no work, and you're going to give birth to twins.
Yeah, it wasn't really planned that way.
Okay. I worry for these kids' futures, by the way. Well, you know what I would do?
What?
I would just go ahead and save myself time and assign them a number, like they're going to get in jail.
Well, we got A and B already.
Why? Look, if you know your kid's a high-risk kid, why name him Kurt when he's just going to become prisoner 7-2245-89? Gee, you know what I mean? Give him a number. That'd be cool. You know you're bound. Give him a good prison number. That, you know, you can call your kid whatever badass name you want. You know, sometimes they do. Sometimes they'll do that thing where they'll give them the, like, Billy the Kid kind of stuff. You know, they'll give them that Jesse James kind of stuff, or they'll name the kid Malice or something like that. Tough names. The toughest name is a number.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people suggested the
prison break. Yeah.
Prince and King and stuff like that. And you said, well, then there's nothing going to be more sadly ironic. If they are jailbirds, this is the reverse. You make them. If they do anything better than jail.
Right.
They'll
right.
feel like
And it would
success.
Be kind of cool to
I've
set
been
the
in
bar
jail.
Low.
I want my kids to be in jail.
Well, nobody wants their kid to go to jail, but 10% of them are going. And I've put you in that group.
Oh, great. Thanks.
You need to get married, and your husband needs to find a gig.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand. Listen, I got to say something. Whenever I talk to guys that are out of work that swing a hammer for a living,
uh-huh.
I used to do that for a living, and it's so hard to find guys that are good, that don't rip you off, that don't go through your daughter's underpants drawer and urinate in the dog bowl, that I was always busy. I wasn't the world's greatest guy or the world's greatest carpenter. I was just sort of steady and good at what I did.
You were honest and you showed up on time.
Phone never stopped ringing. Adam, we need you to come and build us or whatever. When I hear about guys who do this for a living that are out of work, it always makes me worry just a little bit that maybe they're not so good at it.
Well, no, it's the electrician job that he's got. They don't have any jobs for him. They apparently are a small business and they don't have their name out yet.
All right, let me ask you this. Think about it. Does anyone know anyone that's really good at what they do that's ever out of work?
No.
Think about that. We pass right over that in society. It's been out of work for 18 months. Oh, my husband's been looking for it. How old? He's 44. well, he did this for 8 years and he did that. But who do you know who's really good at their job? I just was looking at Big Dad. Yeah. Here, who's
not
really
the correct,
good?
Solution.
I don't care what the goddamn job is, but who is really good at their job that you know that's ever out of work for 1 second? Or are these people constantly turning down things? Headhunters coming around, trying to get them away from where they are and over to another project, saying, sorry, it sounds like a lot of fun, but I can't work on that. I'm in the middle of this one, and I'm committed through the end of the year.
Yeah. All right. Latrell Sprewell, maybe? He didn't play this past NBA.
And he's good. Yeah, all right.
That's the only one I can think of.
All right. We need to take a break. Gone on far too long. Wait a second. Jerry.
Hey, what's up, man?
You turn the tables on a litter bug?
I did, man. I hate that when they do that, dude. I was sitting outside my house. This guy drives by, and he chucks a bag of McDonald's trash mm-hmm. out in front of my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So I jump in mm-hmm. the car. I grab the trash. I jump in the car, and I follow him. He lives
oh my God.
A couple blocks away, and I chuck it back in his driveway.
Good. I had a guy who used to park out front of my house when I lived over in Sherman Oaks. Dave knows the house. The guy used to like to sort of clean his car out in front of my house. He'd park on this gravel in front of my house. He'd open the door, and the stuff that accumulated, the cigarette boxes and wrappers and stuff, he'd just clear out onto the ground. I put them all back onto his windshield with a horrible note one day, and we ended up confronting each other. But, yes, we must do this.
What do you think the guy... That's an awesome story, this guy with the McDonald's bag. Do you think the guy went out and saw in his driveway? He's like, so... Wow, retribution on somebody else dumped their garbage. Do you think he unrolled it and said, wait, this is my McDonald's. What did God do to me? There's no way somebody picked it up and drove it to my
Either
house.
Either way, I'm satisfied.
I
like that story, Jerry.
Adam, don't you think...
Thank you,
don't
yes.
Don't you think that litter bugs is directly... People that litter are directly related to their educational level?
Well, I'll tell you
or
this.
Lack thereof.
No. I'll tell you yes. this much. I'll tell you this much. Yes. Thank you. It is. Here's the thing. When you have money and you have education and you have time to think about these loftier goals like the ozone and the climate change and things like that. When you're living hand to mouth, you just live hand to mouth. You're sort of like, why doesn't the raccoon care about litter or the ozone? Well, the raccoon cares about where the raccoon is getting its next goddamn meal. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are a lot closer to that. That's why the celebrities care about it. They work 3 months out of the year. They make $9 million a picture. And they have the rest of the 10, 11 months a year to think about global climate changes. And the money to do it. Mm-hmm. The Ozzy and his 9 kids in their apartment don't have time to think about that. That's how it goes. And I know there's also a cultural component to it because I work with Latin guys exclusively. I always have. And when they would come work at my house, I would always tell them they would have vast amounts of garbage, you know, beer cans and just the stuff you use when you're building. Everything comes out of a cardboard box. And I always say, Ozzy, throw it into the blue container. Yeah, okay. They would never do it. They never, ever would do it, and eventually I would stand in front of them and start screaming, I will fire all of your Mexican asses if you don't start throwing the cans in the goddamn blue can. Just throw it in the can. There's two big dumpsters, one blue one, one brown one. Never, 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 never. I would never do it, and I would do it every... I would, you know, Ozzy, tell them in Spanish to throw the cans. It would not do it. Will not, won't. Don't.
I experienced the exact same thing redoing my house, and it is so
yes.
infuriating.
Yes, and I'll tell you what it is. They come from a place where, sorry, Bruskett, they come from a place where it's like that's way down on the list. When you can't find clean drinking water and your kid has dysentery and you don't have power in your house, recycling way down. You can't get recycling up on people's lists who are living hand to mouth. That's
forget
what
recycling,
it is.
Picking up your garbage, not throwing the McDonald's
cultural.
In there.
Cultural.
Fair enough. You're right.
White. You cannot judge. How dare you? Let's take a break. I'm sorry. We're running late. When we come back, we're going to speak to an 81-year-old grandpa vigilante, James Wilson. He's calling and he shot 2 robbers in his store. Actually, in his garage. In his store/garage.
Yeah, he's got a liquor store with it near his garage. The garage/liquor store.
All right, Bruska. Yes, garage.
Wake up, Bruska.
It's garage door. You've heard of a garage door?
What do you want me to tell you? Shut up.
This is a garage store.
Two men, two bullets.
That's it.
Did he shoot him in the store or in the garage?
He's got a garage right above his store, or vice versa. I forget which one.
I don't think you can have a garage above your store.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He uses a great ramp show to get the Buick into
fun.
All right. But where did he shoot them?
In his garage.
All right. All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk to him right after this.
I know what you're thinking.
I am a celebrity. Yes, a C-lister, but a celebrity. I will have a couple of children. If I, at any point, 2 years from now, decide I'm going to sit down and pen myself a children's book,
right,
I want you to attack me with a folding chair.
There's a lot more coming up, so stay here, or there, or wherever you are. Just don't change the station. It's the Adam Carolla Show. Let's check producer Angie's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, Angie. It's Mark the Poet. Whenever is my next time on, it will be my 22nd time. I haven't been paid to be on the show yet. Hi, Angie. This is Mark the Poet once again. Does CBS still put out records? I have enough material for an album. I know I left a lot of points on your answering machine. Hi, Angie. It's Mark the Poet. I probably get to call a little less if you called me back.
Yeah, the tubes. Mark the Poet wants to be compensated because this will be his 23rd time on the show. It is like a guy who got arrested for the 23rd time showing up to the precinct sergeant and going, okay, now I'm going to need to be compensated because I've been here. I've been in that drunk tank. For now, this is my 24th time going into the drunk tank. I'm going to need something. I got a family support. Really?
He wants to get paid.
We'd like it if you just stayed out of the drunk tank. As a matter of fact, here's $10. Never call the show again.
What does he want? How much does he want to get paid?
Whatever it is, I say we pay it and he leaves us alone. Everybody, pass the tambourine. Let's pony up. I'll put in $100. We'll get together a couple $100. I'm sure Jack Silver kick in $800. Maybe we'll get Hooters to give a $50 gift certificate. We'll never have to hear from Mark.
He's holding us and the audience hostage.
Mark?
Good morning, Adam.
Hey, brother. We're just talking about you.
I heard.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I must say.
Thank you. Now, you're going to be going up against Brandon, Dave's cousin, calling in from Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg, PA, the
He's
city.
He's your arch nemesis.
The Keystone State's capital.
We're going to do a little Limerick Wars?
Let's
Absolutely.
Do it.
All right, let's check in with Brandon. Brandon, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm battling a cold, but it's easier than battling Mark, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You don't look at him as any competition at all.
No, but I got to ask, by the way, about being compensated. We should get money for writing stupid poetry, no?
You, one, in a perfect world, yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, but absolutely. Where do I go?
And here's the thing. I think Brandon, who is not... Mark the Poet is actually, I guess, doing... Well, what are you doing for a living, Mark? That's a good question.
We're doing some temp work cutting metal right now.
Uh-huh. Mm. By the way, the long ah is just as good as the right now when someone asks you what you're doing. Watch. Damashek, ask me what I'm doing.
What are you doing for work?
I'm doing, I'm emptying the change in the coin op laundry. Yeah, see the.
Right now? Or?
Yeah, that's as good now. And then right now, ask me what I'm doing.
What are you doing for work?
Right now, I'm just, I'm taking some classes at the JC. You know, that's right now. Now, if you get the combo.
You just did the combo.
Right now. That's what I do with my daughter. When she starts dating, I'm going to start asking the suitors what you're up to. Well, right now, boom, I'll slam the door. They'll hear the pump of the shotgun with the first, and then they'll hear the actual firing of the shotgun with the right now. Okay. Yeah, no one ever says, right now, neurosurgery,
right.
Brain surgeon. Astronaut. Right now, I'm doing some astronaut.
Right now, starting a power forward for the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm batting cleanup for the Yankees right now. All right, so, Brandon.
Yes.
You're not working as a poet, but you were a creative writing major? What was your major?
Yeah, you got it. Creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
Concentration in poetry.
So who would like to go first?
Well, he was offended. You know, right. He, as a listener, he listens online from Harrisburg, PA, was offended by Mark the Poet's poor, what he considered poor attempts at poetry, and he wrote in, and now he's been bashing Mark the Poet, and, right. And now it started a war.
Mark has stepped his game up
yes.
a little bit. But just a little. So
if I could, just to review quickly, we're, this will now be round three. Round one was a decisive one for Brandon. He won 10-7, you declared,
right.
on the scorecard, 10-7. Mm-hmm. Second one, much closer. Mark the Poet fared much better for himself. Still lost the round, though, 10-9.
Yeah.
So as we move into round three, just to set the stage.
All right. Well, let's let Brandon go first this time. Brandon?
Ooh, yes, absolutely. Hey, before I go, by the way, I did mean to congratulate you on the twins. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I sort of took a page out of Mark's book this week and thought I'd try to go for more of like the white boy rap approach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why not? You got to change up your game a little bit.
Sure.
So. Okay, anyway. I Googled Mark Brubeck. Turns out he's from Seattle. It should come as no surprise since that punk ain't come to battle. Like the black and gold crush Piddle back in Super Bowl XL. Mark the Poet's Jeremy Stevens where I'm Antoine Randall L. It's a limerick war, not a battle rap, so try to save some face instead of kissing the collective ass of Strasser's second ace. As white bread is wandering as dry as a cracker, Mark earns a healthy living as an expert fudge packer. Mark claims to have published some inordinate amount, but doing S&M spreads and gay porno mags doesn't count. Beck, his poor name Curtis Manhole. Mark's voice could grate cheese. He sounds worse than Britney Spears, which is why deaf frat guys bless that he's deaf in both ears. If this was a fraternity, Mark would be a lifetime pledge. And when Adam said he wanted cutting, he wanted cutting cheese, not cutting edge. Bite your tongue, Mark the Poet. At least that would be funny. You possess less skill than Ace's twins, Nat and Sonny. Bottom line, Mark the Poet, you can't rap, rhyme, or flow. You'd be better off sucking on Bruska's big toe. I'll take a quarter of Dave's skill on any day of any week. It's still a quarter more than you, you beret-clad, tone-deaf geek. You should know better, Brubeck, than to attack me or my crew, since your rhymes are less timely than electric boogaloo. You can't dance like Turbo, your rhymes are godforsaken. Mark the Poet is the poetry, what Special K was the breaking.
Wow.
Sweet.
Long.
Jesus. Powerful. An
Whoa.
Epic. Stinging.
Yeah.
Shot after shot.
Yeah. We bleeped out he prefers Dick to Jane. Which I don't think we should have bleeped out on this show. I just wanted to go back and clarify
on
that.
Your scorecard, will points be deducted then?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Well, Mark, once again, the bar has been set high. And especially, now, do people call you Mark the Poet like they'll call a fat guy Stretch? You know what I mean? Like, you're horrible at poetry and we're just making fun of you. You know what I mean? Like, if a guy had a horrible speech impediment, you might call him something the Poet. You know, you might call him the auctioneer or something. You know, guys are cruel that way. You know, once in a while you'll see some guy goes 4'11 and he's 400 pounds. You call him Stretch. It's just funny.
Tiny.
I'm starting to think at Tiny. I'm starting at Snowflake. I'm starting to think that the Poet, you were called that because you in fact,
have
possess no skill. Yes. But this is your time. I'm just curious, Mark. This is your time. I didn't mean that to be insulting in any way. It's your time to shine.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's what the person, Brian, was typing into the computer for you to read. Because I'm a Knight Templar, people just call me Sir Mark.
Sir Mark. Okay. Here we go, Sir Mark.
All right.
Unless you'd already, in fact, started. I just wasn't aware of it, which would be a bad sign.
But, on the other hand, an improvement from past
yeah.
work.
Right.
Okay.
That's a step up, but still confusing. Go ahead, Sir Mark.
Brandon's homophobia was cause for close inspection. The object of his fascination couldn't escape detection. That he elicits an erection, craving the hot beef injection. Let's turn from what's obviously not in his pants, but to his job he claims the work of writing grants. Said it's non-profit, which by itself isn't funny, except that Brandon working there is why they make no money. Even management warned him and said it not in jest. It wasn't smart to draw penises on the top of each request. Hey, bro, pass me a brew. Back to poetry and why Brandon shouldn't bother as I hack off his hand announcing, I am your father. CBS satellites picking up par for the course.
Brandon on his knees in Harrisburg humming a horse. He's so bizarre. As 60 Minutes reports the story, my hawk beak in the sleek and unique category. Comparing me to Kerouac, Kayam, and Jewel, Brandon has no balls to even play pocket pool. Intelligence knows when someone's no good. Line tapped and got him. Brandon savagely slapping it, dialing 1-900-BOTTOM. When hookers won't lay him, what a commotion. Nor the girls locked in his basement put on the lotion. Sorry, Dave, your cousin's brand off in this fray. Proving in Polish Damashek does mean gay. Just say the word, Teresa, avenging your honor. My purple lightsaber's on and Brandon's a goner. Mad like the magazine, Sir Mark to the max in this poem. Brandon thunderously crashing like Blaster in the Limerick Dome.
Wow. I know I say this all the time. This is... Do you see how much better both of them have gotten, by the way?
Yes.
I know, you know, here's the thing that makes me insane. You guys all think I'm kidding. This is why communism will not work. Because before we had communism, we had Sir Mark calling in. Mark called in when he felt like it and gave us a C-minus job. All of a sudden, Brandon calls in and says, there's competition now. Mm-hmm. There's a new poetry store that's open across the street. And you know what? What time do you open in the morning? Well, I open at noon. Oh, yeah? We open at 10 a.m. Oh, yeah? Well, now we're going to open at 9 a.m.
Game on.
We're staying open until midnight. There you go. Well, what about coupons? We don't have them. Well, we have them. Well, now we have them. And we'll honor yours, too, if you bring them over to our place. This is what happens. They've stepped it up.
Yeah.
They both lit a fire under each other, and they're both 10 times better than they were 2 months ago.
Yeah, I
amazing.
Like it. Mark the poet, or Sir Mark, excuse me, it started to work blue a little bit now.
Yeah.
He used to soft pedal. I like the purple lightsaber. Curry's in favor with me.
Sure.
However, even more so, references to the Pittsburgh Steelers' victory over Seattle. I like the Super Bowl XL and Randall L and so on
sure.
and so forth.
And
that
I like
good.
The pocket pool and the lightsaber as well.
Hey, so
I did think it fell apart at the end.
You thought that Sir Mark's
I
Mark
did think
the poet
Sir Mark's
fell apart
I did.
At the end.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Punched himself out.
The first, obviously, the first round was a crushing defeat against Sir Mark. The second one, he pulled himself off the canvas and he made it respectable. This one, I'm going to call a draw. Now, I'll tell you why. There's an element of this. It's like we always get back to the fight game, but when you would see Muhammad Ali in his prime have a round with Jerry Corey, the guy who's 5 inches shorter and 20 pounds lighter and 10 shades wider, if Corey just held his own for one round, you would say, oh, you know, the announcers would go nuts. Corey, great round for Corey. Well, not such a great round for Corey. It's just Muhammad Ali should have taken him apart and he didn't. That's all.
Having
I'm
going to
call this
on.
One a draw. I like the way Mark bounced back. I like the way he came back.
So a draw. That's good. Now, how about this? I feel like Brandon has now, I will say in spite of the draw, gotten the better of Mark now, you know, at least a couple of times, really savagely beaten him at least one time. Why don't we change the subject just to freshen it up and let them both set their sights on Tad, on a third party. Fat Tad shall be their
third and
their
fourth
object.
Party, I would argue. Yes. And listen, if you can't find something about Big Tad, you must turn in your quill or whatever you guys use. Whatever when you get stripped as a poet, I don't know if they break your quill, your feathered pen, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, turn in your beret, your bongo drum, whatever you guys got to do, because Big Tad is the equivalent to the side of a barn.
Brandon, it's Thanksgiving. Come watch the football game. I can't. I'm penning a thing with my quill. That's always how it was. Always at a table with the quill and
yes.
the ink.
All right. Nice job, guys. Your next challenge, if you want to call it that, is Big Tad. Also, the vigilante grandpa who was calling in, probably should have said something about that earlier. We're going to have to check in with him later because his store's gotten busy and he's getting customers in it. His liquor store, the one he shot the two guys defending, I'm guessing. Juan?
Hello? Yes.
You're taking the citizenship test today?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where are you taking it?
In Rio Alto.
Rio Alto.
Yeah.
And...
Are you nervous?
Yeah.
Not really. I was telling the guy that me and a bunch of my friends went to high school, whatever. We went to college together, but everybody dropped out. I'm the only one that doesn't have a citizenship of the United States, and I'm the only one that graduated.
Where are you from?
From Mexicali.
Mm-hmm.
How many stars are on the flag?
50.
All right,
you
you're
sure
fine.
About that?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Do you get to study it? Like, you can study for the driving test?
They give you a little book that's kind of like that. And it's basic stuff, but it's stuff that, thank you for that, too. Mm-hmm. But it's really common sense stuff, but that you don't even think about that you might get wrong.
Right.
How many, branches of government? You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. Man. I've never really thought about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know any of that crap either. But I was grandfathered in, so I'm cool.
My friends don't know that, and, they get to vote.
No, look, it's the same way, like I said. Well, I guess if most people took the driving test, they would fail it now, even though they drove to take the driving test, It is sad but true. Call us back, by the way, after you pass. And I found that most tests that we give in this country, whenever we give a test, we would like people to pass it, so we provide them with booklets that have the answers for them to look at, but people don't even bother to take that time most time. Right. Most tests you take, even in high school, to a certain point, any standardized anything, driving, citizenship, whatever, we will give you a booklet that contains every answer. You just stare at it for an hour before you come in, and you're going to ace this test. We do want you to pass, because if you don't pass, we have to keep you in for another year, or you have to come back again. We don't want to see you again. Okay, we're going to take ourselves a break. Who are we talking to when we come back? Brusket.
We got news and sports coming.
Right? News and sports coming up after this. Bill Rancic in studio. The first, the one, the only, the original apprentice.
I was talking with Mr. Trump today.
Mr. Trump, name your... Sir, you're actually talking about Donald Trump.
That's little Trump.
Because I named my thing Mr. Trump.
The good news is you're fired.
The next time you see Adam Carolla on a bus back or a billboard, hit the guy next to you really hard and say, 1-0. It's the Adam Carolla Show. Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, Ozzy's movie review. Oswaldo saw Prairie Home Companion over the weekend. He's in the studio to review the film. Plus, the conservative Christian guy who's trying to shut down porn stores. He'll explain why. And from television's Prison Break, Teabag, Robert Knepper. Let's get back to it. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Speaking of porn stores, 866-901-ADAM, by the way, is the phone number. Dante, who works over at the Circus of Books.
Hey, Adam.
What's happening? You know, the thing about anything that has circus in the title, circus is something that's very inviting to kids, but circus of, you don't want kids getting anywhere near. So if it just says circus alone, fine. Otherwise, circus of, don't
bring... Craziness, right?
No one under 30 should be allowed near circus of, fill in the blank.
Especially this past weekend.
What, so you're working... Oh!
Gay Pride.
Gay Pride. Yeah, I was watching the gay... You're out in Boys Town, right?
Even very much.
You guys are located over there off of Santa Monica Boulevard somewhere?
Yes.
I was watching the news, like the channel, the local news this morning at like 5:10 in the morning, and it struck me that the Gay Pride Parade is now commonplace and has slid under the radar. It used to be all these things, like, the Players Ball and the porn convention. Mm-hmm. They've all turned into tailhook, by the way. The Gay Pride Parade is literally tailhooking time. But... It's now above the board. It's on the official news blotter. So it's like you got some guy in his 50s with a bad tie and a bad tube, and he's like, hey, Gay Pride going on, Gay Pride weekend, turn of this Sunday, over 300,000 people showing up. Let's see a clip of that. And this guy's going down the street being tugged by chains with clamps on their nipples, and other guys wearing stripper wedgies and fishnets with a nut sack poking through the fishnets, and it's like, fantastic. In other news, a bear cub is trying to raise a kitten. It's like, hello, it's 5:10 in the morning. You have huge queers going down the street being dragged by their codpiece. Pride's the funniest thing in the world. And then every time they interview one of these nut jobs, it's like, we think it's fantastic that we can come out here and show pride and show unity. I saw First off, I'm staring at your boyfriend's ass because he has he's not wearing anything under his chaps, and you are dragging him. He's wearing a gimp ball at this point, and you're riding him like a pony down the street. And here comes the knee pad brigade. Their guys who just wear tutus and knee pads. They're coming in. They're playing the bagpipes.
It's the best. I love it.
It's the best, but I mean, I'm not sure where pride comes in. I'm not sure where the pride part comes in.
God, yeah, I love gay pride.
You think the sophisticated guys like David Sedaris, the gay guys like that, are proud that these are their brethren? Probably not.
I don't know. I don't know, but I just imagine if it was any other kind of pride. Like, listen... Dave, we want you to be Grand Marshal of the Pittsburgh Pride Parade. Put on this tutu, put on these lineman boots and this gimp mask. Let's go. Let's go. And we're gonna drag you by your nipples.
He is the symbol of all that we embrace. Right.
Don't you guys think that the gimp mask is really scary and freaky?
Everything in that place is scary.
See, I like all the other stuff. The gimp mask,
that's where it ends for me. That is a little freaky. All right, so everybody was... And if you're going to a gay pride parade... You are going to get laid. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why there's a great turnout. You know,
isn't that the point?
They do that thing where it's like every gay thing. There's an amazing turnout. There'd be amazing turnouts for everything if we thought we could get laid, and you know you can at a gay pride parade. I mean, there's 300,000 gay guys that are liquored up on, you know, Bacardi breezes that are ready to get it on. If I'm gay, hell yes, I'm going down there.
That's the whole point of
the
parade.
That's the point. Get laid and show your pride.
Right.
Sorry, Dante. So you had a lot of business in this weekend?
Oh, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're straight yourself?
Yes.
Wow. What a humiliating gig for you, selling all that gay literature. It's got to suck. But the good news is, like we've established, because he works at a porn bookstore, he gets to stand up on that 3-foot riser. So anyone who comes in there, you get to look down on him like the Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of, well, picture Oz, but start it with a J and then put an I.
Oh.
Yes, that's what they should call you.
I still haven't figured it out.
I'll tell you on a break.
It's got the zzz sound, but it starts with the G.
I think I'm beginning.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
I'm curious, does he get hit on? Do you get hit on all the time, Dante? By all the gay boys?
Yeah, but usually just a certain type.
Mm-hmm.
Which type is that?
Older black man and older white man.
Wow, older.
Older, yeah.
Why is that? Are you older yourself, Dante?
I'm 27.
All right.
Which in the gay community, seriously, he's over the hill.
Over the hill, yeah.
I'm grandpa in the gay community.
We're looking to give away $200 worth of Craig and Auto Parts gift certificate to anyone you can find in the store there.
Oh, God.
You have customers?
Yeah.
You do? Put one of them on the phone. See if you can wrangle one of them and get them over to the phone.
Tell them 7 a.m.
Tell them. Listen.
Don't you think 7 a.m. is awfully early to be going to the porn bookstore?
Well, the gays are like a volunteer fire department. Mm. They don't work off the clock. 24 hours. Always ready to go. Hello?
Who's this?
This is Adam. Would you come on the radio show, by the way? Adam Carolla show?
Radio. Okay, sure. Why not? Okay.
Where are you from, sir?
Romania.
Romania. Oh. And you're hanging out at the gay bookstore?
Well, hey, listen, I'm not customer here, okay? I'm businessman.
You're a businessman?
Yeah.
And what are you doing in the store?
Well, I'm checking out the shelves for my title to see if my product is moving, you know.
Ah, I say you're an entrepreneur. You put out the pornography.
Yes.
And you do gay and straight or just gay?
No. Straight only.
Straight
hot,
only.
Hot Romanian girls.
Hot Romanian. You know, there is a lot of hot chicks coming from behind the Iron Curtain these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you, so there's straight stuff at the bookstore too, right?
Yes, but it gets smaller every day. It's depressing, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it is. It's like when a neighborhood goes bad.
Yeah.
White flight, straight flight at the bookstore.
The most depressing thing is I don't see my title on shelf. To be honest, I'm in bad mood.
Yeah. Now, eventually, the only theaters, by the way, the only porn theaters that still exist are gay porn theaters.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, there used to be straight ones where a man and his group. Now, she's not even allowed to say that, huh?
Touch yourself.
Attractive.
Yes. Sorry.
That was a golden age, my friend.
Mm. Yeah, I think it was a different color. But anyway, So Dante standing by. What's your name?
Yurgi.
And you're a businessman. You produce these films?
Yes, I do. You know, I've got a problem now with distributor. He don't want to push my last title. It's not on shelf.
What is it? What was the title?
Romanian Young Bungs.
Why won't he? Why won't he stock it?
Well, you see, he don't want to stock it because the girls have winter bush.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing worse than that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I tell him we shoot in Bucharest in February.
Yeah, okay. it's the reason. By the way, winter bush. We're not allowed to say that. Well, wait a minute. We got bleeped out. Anyway, yes, it's how you guys were able to keep Hitler's army at bay in World War II.
But I tell you.
Exactly. Speaking of Hitler, I won't make this mistake again. From now on, all my girls' pubic hair look like Hitler's mustache.
Yes, smart. Smart. All right, well, listen, I'm intrigued, Yergi. Yergi's just down the street, is he not? How about you come in here and pay us a visit, Yergi? We'll give you your Kragen.
We'll stock your stuff over here, too. Yeah,
I sell stuff on the radio, eh?
Perfect. Yeah, and also, later on in the show, we have an anti-porn activist calling in.
Oh, Christ.
So maybe you guys could lock...
These people.
Yes.
So stupid.
Yeah, no, I know. They're cutting
free
in your
speech,
livelihood.
Right?
Well, it's just stupid, because porn is natural, you know.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's natural. It's what people like to do this. They like to watch it. It keeps families together.
Yeah, right. Right.
I mean, the husband, he watched the porno, and then he masturbated, he have orgasm, he too relaxed to beat his wife and kids.
Or the wife watches it with him.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
It's frowned upon in Romania.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they don't do that. Yeah.
But it's okay here in the States.
It's encouraged, actually.
Yes.
All right. So, Yergi.
Yeah.
Why don't you, we'll put you on hold. You can talk to Bruskett or Angie, and we'll give you some directions. You come in, because I'm going to need you to watch my back when I argue it up with this anti-porn activist, okay?
Okay, you got it, my friend.
All right, nice job. And we'll get you that $200 Kragen gift certificate. Tracy.
Adam.
Tracy Metro.
Winterbush.
Is going to be doing, it's a good name, though.
Yeah.
I could see my, you know, John Winterbush. Something like that, you know,
it's very dignified.
It's regal sounding, yeah. Yes. Tracy Metro is going to be doing the news for Teresa Strasser, who's in New York, doing like Good Morning America. She'll be back tomorrow. But what can we look forward to in your upcoming newscast?
We can look forward to Entourage News. I know you're a fan. Also, Stormwatch 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to wrap it up with news of our very own Teresa about her show.
All that and Dave with the sports after this.
Right now on The Insider, two babies, one eyebrow. Carolla has twins.
The next time you see a picture of Adam Carolla on a bus or a billboard, hit the guy next to you really hard and say, 1-0, The Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff Frack guy, welcome. It's good to see you.
Hell yeah.
Bro, Jimmy is a lot better than Adam. It's the bottom line.
Wait a second. Adam might be back tomorrow,
but
Maverick.
Dude, he doesn't let anyone talk. And all they do is play songs before they bench. Poochie's uncle says it's morning zoo. With Jimmy, it's more like a real radio show.
Yeah, thank you.
It's just kissing ass because he wants a producing gig over at JKL. Well, that is Def Rat Guy now.
Tacked.
Filling in. Well, I have a skin like an armadillo and an ego like Don King, so nothing can penetrate or harm me. But sometimes I hurt.
I see a tear in your eye.
It is time now. Yes, words do hurt. Teresa Strasser is in New York City. She's going to check in with us. She has her show premiering on ABC 10 o'clock tonight. It's the matchmaking show, 6 big episodes. She'll be back tomorrow, but in her place, filling in, and so far doing a magnificent job.
Thank you, sir.
Is one Tracy Metro.
Well, here we go. The first tropical storm of the 2006 season, Storm Alberto, began strengthening this morning in the Gulf of Mexico. Forecasters issued warnings for the west coast of Florida, but since Alberto only reached wind speeds of approximately 50 miles an hour, it will not, I repeat, will not likely grow into a hurricane. And, of course, there were no reports of major damage due to the fact that the winds weren't so high.
I know we have global warming and everything going on, but did this stuff seem to be in the news 10 years ago, stuff would hit. There'd be one hurricane every 8 years you'd hear about. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't news story du jour every single night and on the evening news. It seems like it's now at the top of everyone's list. I like it, by the way. I love a God-made disaster. Mm. I can't stand the terrorism stuff. I can't stand the stories about the kid, the guy who breaks into the preschool and abducts the kids and all that stuff. But when here's the deal. If I hear about one kid being killed by his drunken neighbor, I'm depressed the whole night. Right. 100 people could die because the wind's kicked up to 110 miles an hour, and I'm fine with it.
Right?
No, it's God.
It's very big of you.
The more you know. Thank you.
Or if or if you watch Al Gore's movie,
mm-hmm.
Is It Us?
Inconvenient Truth.
Exactly. Yeah. I ask
They're
you.
More. That's all. They're more and more intense, too, than 10 True. Years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think they like to show off their names.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Okay. You know, of the storms.
Sure.
In other news, Entourage premiered last night on HBO. In the first show of the season, Ari Gold, who's played, of course, by Jeremy Piven, he was trying to help Vince find a date to the premiere of his movie Aquaman.
Come on, let's be classy. You've been banging every girl west of Sepulveda the past 6 months. Just pick the one skank that's going to photograph well and be done with it. Boom!
Hey, that does sound classy.
E, for the love of God, help me out here.
All right, look, I agree. It's a big night, okay? And if you're going to take someone, you got to be smart. And this girl's going to be linked to you for a long time, so she's got to be premiere worthy.
Okay. All right. I just don't think any of my West of Sepulveda skanks fit the bill.
They do have hot chicks in that show. Every time there's a chick behind the counter, whenever they go to the jewelry store or wherever they go to the record store, whoever's behind the counter is piping hot.
Do you suppose that's how it is? I love the idea that exists, and I envy it. When we had Rick Fox, the former Laker, in here, he indicated that everywhere he went, every time he went on the road, wives, beautiful women, you know, people who had children, throw themselves at these people.
Well,
do you think
Rick
A-listers
Fox,
just get this everywhere they go?
Rick
women
Fox
throwing.
Is so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think so.
I'm so envious.
Also, I think people are getting better looking. They're
you
like,
think?
They
surgery?
Are. Well, when you go back. There's an evolvement going on, but a lot of it's plastic surgery and then just diet and all that kind of stuff. Little survival of the fittest stuff. But when you go back and look at who the presidents and the politicians and the opera stars and all this, the rock stars, the celebrities of yore, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they always show their wife. They're pigs.
Right.
They're pigs. And the guy was always dedicated to them. And after she died, you know, scarlet fever got her when she was on her 34th birthday. He couldn't go on. He killed himself, too. That never would happen anymore. First off, you have a hot chick. And then secondly, your wife kicks off. You're going on a bang fest. It'll be funny to see history shows 200 years from now when they're like his beloved wife, Brittany, and it's just some chick with fake boobs and too much collagen and her hair all bleached out standing there. It's going to look funny.
Totally. The big fake boobs and then the rest of the body is totally sagging around them.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Alrighty. Over the weekend, a bunch of concerned environmentalists rode their bikes naked in protest to cars and pollution.
Mm.
Yes. The naked bike riders had slogans such as one less car and biomethanol painted on their bare backs. In the U.S., the protest took place in San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Boston.
This, the whole environmental thing, I think, is just a huge scam to get chicks nude.
Mm.
I really do. And it used to be, there used to be other ways guys got chicks nude. It was, you know, let's get into the hot tub. Let's do a little skinny dipping. How about a massage?
Now it's back to nature.
I can't work with that bra in place, baby. Let me just undo the bra. I can't get to your shoulders. Hey, that's where you store your tension. You're storing it in your shoulders, and I can't get to it, that big bra strap. But now we're using these protests. Hey, man, are you for fur? You're not for fur, are you?
No way,
baby. No, take your pants off. Take your pants off.
Okay.
It's like, really? How do other folks protest things, wars and things like that? Do you have to get naked? Everything has to do with the environment. It has to do with the dudes getting the chicks naked.
So
I love that.
It's just a ploy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you're not in favor of global warming, are you, sweetie?
Nope.
Good. Take your. I'll tell you what. Tell me about it while you're taking your blouse off, please. And also, snow seals. You know, they club the baby ones.
Hate that.
You hate it?
The worst. Sweetie,
your pants. Please undo the pants.
Okay, here
please.
We go.
Okay, and the bra.
Oh, All right.
And I'm going to masturbate to protest global warming.
Can I help?
It's a baby. Take the bra off. Your bra's still on. Yes.
How uncomfortable do you think it was for guys to be naked on a bicycle seat?
It's got to be rough, but also liberating.
I mean, ladies too.
Yeah.
Not attractive. Not attractive.
Oh, poor seat.
All righty. And we have very exciting news about our very own Teresa Strasser, as you talked about earlier. Mm. Her show, How to Get the Guy, premieres tonight on ABC at 10 p.m. And over the weekend, she was on Extra. Here, have a listen.
On the show, co-host Teresa Strasser and J.D. Roberto guide four women through the dating minefield. Now the love coaches are sharing their best tips with Extra.
We are at beautiful Dodger Stadium
to show you how to get in the game and get the guy. There are enough single men between the ages of 25 and 44 to fill every seat in this stadium 10 times.
Get ready to make a date with How to Get the Guy, beginning Monday on ABC.
Mm-hmm. Dave Damaschek said in Entertainment Weekly, D+. What'd it get?
That's what somebody told me. Yeah, I heard that it was a D+. Billy told me, the webmaster.
Plus.
D+, yes.
I can never say anything bad about any review ever again because I've gotten some of the worst reviews ever. I'm -4 stars on two occasions, by the way. -4 stars.
I
not,
didn't know
not
they had
zero.
That rating.
I would have to do a +4 star show, which is never going to happen, to get to zero.
Right.
You understand that?
Just to be at even.
Yes. It's like being born owing money. That's what -4 stars is for your show.
Well, she's going to be on Good Morning America at some point soon. We'll get to watch it with. Thank goodness we have TV here.
Well, she's going to come on the show, and then we'll have the GMA stuff at 9 o'clock.
She's in New York as we speak.
Yes,
she'll be back this time tomorrow.
And that is Teresa's news.
Nice.
It's time for Dave Damaschek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I shall start with the most popular sport in the world. The beautiful game, football.
Yeah.
Soccer. Little before 9:00 this morning, our time, the U.S. of A. takes to the field. Nay, the pitch.
Goal!
They play the vaunted Czech team. Big game yesterday. Mexico.
You have to go nuts, by the way, in soccer because you only score every other weekend. So
right.
You have to go insane when it happens. You can't do that in basketball because there's constant scoring. Hockey and soccer are the two sports you have to go insane for because they never score. That's why it's boring.
I don't want to jump on the bandwagon. I really do. I have enjoyed a little bit of what I've watched so far. I enjoy it. But there are a couple of things that force me to put a couple of soccer players on the jerk report later on this week.
Mm-hmm.
Big game yesterday, Mexico versus Iran. In the so-called Thorns in President Bush's Side Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrations throughout Mexico and I guess also around here in Southern California, too. Tres Colores win it. That's the nickname of the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
Guy named Bravo scored twice. I don't know this for sure. I think he's the first player in World Cup tournament history to score two goals in the same tournament.
That's how you know it's a boring sport.
I don't know that for a fact. Yeah, no. But I'll tell you, it wasn't Cup half. It was the one good thing I will say for Iran, at least for me. The guy that scored the goal for them, Yahya Gol Mahamadi.
Gol Mahamadi.
Wonderful. I'm going to have a song in just a moment for you. Quickly, though. NBA Finals last night. Game 2 down in Texas. Mark Cuban must be on cloud 9. His team dominated Shaq Fu and company for a second straight game. Mavs win it 99-85. Story so far. Shaq Fu in two games. 2 of 16 from the charity stripe. Shameful even by his standards. Sweet Jesus.
I know. They make excuses for him. His hand is too big. His head is too big. And I think to myself, well, it is kind of weird to be like you shooting a grapefruit, but I could shoot a grapefruit and hit 50% if that's all I did all day.
Sonny Corolla could make 2 of 16, for cripe's sake.
The thing that's amazing about Shaq is he works with specialists. They bring in the guy who set the Guinness Book, the record, who made like 1,500 in a row, and he can't do anything with him.
Right. Now, national pastime. Dodgers bumped off the Rockies. They picked up a game on the rest of the NL West to take sole possession of first place because the Arizona Snakes, they lost to the Metropolitans.
Mm.
Padres lost to the Florida Fish, and the Gigantics fell to the Pittsburgh Family. Hard-charging ball club, black and gold.
Sure. 9 games away from 500. They're coming up.
Oh, much, much worse than that.
Oh, really?
14.
14.
Junior Circuit. Mariners took the Trident to the Halos all weekend long. They completed the sweep yesterday in Anaheim. Halos quickly becoming one of the biggest disappointments in all of baseball. Speaking of sweeps.
It's great listening, by the way. You listen to sports talk radio. It's awesome. Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, Phil. We don't have the hitting this year. We don't have the pitching. We don't have the relief. We don't have any coming out of the bullpen. I mean, if you're not putting runs up, you're not going to win a lot of ball games. I got to be honest with you, Phil.
Quite frankly, Frank, I got to tell you, stop the presses. I happen to agree with you. Is this the first time in recorded history that we agree on something?
Well, I don't know if both of us are right or both of us are wrong, but I'm telling you. If you're not scoring points, if you're not actually putting up runs, you're not scoring runs, you're just not going to win a lot of ball games.
I could not agree more.
You know, the game is a simple game. It comes down to who pitches the best, who hits the best, who fields the best, and who, at the end of nine innings, scores the most runs.
I might get in some trouble for saying this.
Yeah.
I want to move on to another subject, but I might get some letters. Mm-hmm. But quite frankly... Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods is arguably the best golfer.
No, it's arguably
not right
the best.
Now,
and a lot of people
ever.
Are going to have a problem with that. No, I know. I'll tell you, you know, when you take the Angels, when you go back to 2003 when they won the whole thing, the difference between that team and this ball club today, it's palpable. They had pitching. They scored runs. They did fielding. They're just not that team anymore.
Who are you that we agree on something? I can't get over it.
It's got to suck just to cover a team that sucks. And that's all you can do all day.
Imagine then being the beat writer.
Then you have to take calls on the same thing. Yeah.
Anyway, as I say, the sweeps, the Athletics went into Yankee Stadium and did just that to the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
And now... Mm-hmm. It is time to move on. You know, I've done my best to move on from Chi Chu Temu, the glory of those songs.
Sure.
Love them.
Of course, I tried on Friday. I failed.
Yes, you
did. I'm the first
did.
One to admit it. But the U.S. of A, there's so many great names in this tournament, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But even the U.S. of A has a great name on his team. Aguchi Ayanwu.
Aguchi Ayanwu.
Aguchi. I shall now attempt a song.
All right, well, we get the point.
Play it cool, Chris.
All right.
That's quite a long intro.
Yeah.
Settle down, Metro.
Aguchi sounds like a good
This
handbag.
Is a tribute to our nation's soccer team, please. We gonna get to it anytime soon? I didn't write the song. Well, I did write. This is my variation.
Right, right.
Wow.
Aguchi. That's it.
I'm glad you entertained me.
Wow.
Damashek's number one sports.
Alan?
Yeah, this is Alan.
How say you?
You know, I try to be patient and, you know, allow the handicap to excel at their profession, but this Dave Damodork, he knows nothing about sports. He knows nothing, absolutely nothing, saying that the Mexican guy, he's a hero because he scored two goals in a game. Never been done. Just the day before, the guy from Costa Rica had two goals in the same game, let alone the same tournament.
Well, look, it's not a real sport. How is he supposed to follow it?
And besides, I think there was a chance I was being sarcastic off of A saying that there are two goals scored every two weeks in the tournament.
Right.
There's a chance I was being sarcastic about that.
What else don't you like about Dave?
I don't
quickly
buy that, Dave, because there's all the time with this, you know, inept sports reporting. Even the inside track or the inside story, like when Sacramento Kings fired the coach. Artest says, "I won't play unless you hire him." Was there a mention of that? That was the inside story. No.
What?
I have no idea, but I like him. Alan.
Right. Of course he wouldn't know. Of course Dave wouldn't know. But, Adam, you're fantastic.
Thanks. Okay. That's all I needed to hear.
If Alan isn't careful with himself, I am going to walk out this door. And if I do, I will not come back.
Wow.
So,
scary words, you know. Alan, please, no. But thank you for loving me. We will take ourselves a little break. Ozzy.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good. Boy, if I've seen a lot of Ozzy over the last few
What's
days.
What's happening your first night with the kid?
Yeah, Ozzy and I went down to the hospital yesterday, parked the truck, loaded up the truck with the flowers and the kids.
I'm very surprised you carried the two kids in the same time.
Yeah,
eh?
I took both the kids in
Papa
the bassinet.
Nino with two kids, one in right hand and the other in the left hand, eh?
Yeah.
Nobody helped her.
I want to hear what Ozzy thinks about Adam Carolla, the father, when we get back.
Ozzy's a championship father, by the way. His kids are not only beautiful, but a delight. Well-mannered, beautiful kids.
Yeah, especially Henry.
Yeah, Henry. Good boy. Yeah. All right, so Ozzy, got a review of what movie for us?
Not remember right now.
Wow. Seared into your soul. I hear it's the Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, yeah, this is? Yeah, I remember it right now.
What's it What's it called?
Good Prairie Home something.
Okay. All right. All right, buddy.
The fact that you just said it wasn't enough.
A Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, yeah, a Prairie Home Companion.
All right, buddy. Take a quick break. We'll be back with Ozzy's movie review after this. Let's try this again. Vince Vaughn. Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vince.
Bings.
Vaughn.
Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Bings Ball.
There's a lot more coming up, so stay here, or there, or wherever you are. Just don't change the station. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I say Adam, and he says
Adam.
I say Hoffman, and he says
Osman.
Adam,
Adam.
Hoffman,
Osman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says
racist.
I say confusion, and he says
confusion.
Racist,
racist.
Confusion,
confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
Salt of the earth, my Latin brethren, Oswaldo Castillo, came to the hospital with me yesterday, packed up the kids. You got to pack stuff up, you know, 4 days worth of flowers and, you know, nightgowns and pillows and all that crap. Plus the kids, forgot one of them.
How far did you get?
Well, we were on the 101. We got almost to the Van Nuys exit, and my wife's like, we got to go back and get him. And I'll be like, I'll be goddamn if I'm turning this minivan around.
That would be too embarrassing to go back and see.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if we just hopped on at Reseda, but we were down. We just passed the 405, so we're a good 3 miles down the 101. There was no traffic, but yet it was Sunday. Playoff games to watch, things like that. He's in there.
Priorities.
By the way, where's he going? What's he going to do? Hop on his Vespa and head to Puerto Rico? Come on, he's fine. He's at the hospital. What better place? He'll be safer there.
If it was a movie premise in the 50s or 60s, maybe somebody would put him in a basket and leave him on a doorstep, but that doesn't happen anymore.
He's fine, or she's fine. I don't remember which one it was. But
we'll tell him apart, right?
You'll be grabbing him tomorrow. Oh, yeah, this
Ozzy,
stage.
Are you proud of Adam?
Yep.
You are. You're happy for him.
Yeah, you're happy.
Ozzy came.
Very surprised yesterday, you know, Adam make a U-tour, you know, in the freeway.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the e-brake, and I slapped the siren on top of the minivan. Yeah. And Ozzy. I yelled to my wife, no time for backup.
Ozzy, what do the kids look like? Do they look like Adam or Lynette?
He very lucky. The boy is almost him, and the girl is Saint Lynette.
No. Yeah. Is that right? The boy, Sonny looks like Adam.
Yeah.
Cute.
Cute.
And the two, the same length, and the hand, you know, big hand.
Big hands.
Really?
Big hand.
That's right. Yes. And you know what that means? Huge clitoris.
Maybe.
Or penis. For a girl, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
That's right. Who cares? She has big hands.
She has a big penis, the boy, man.
Yeah. Is that right, Ozzy?
Yeah.
Santino's.
Santino, you know, maybe it's crazy enough with the penis, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually scratched his nose with his penis. Yeah, that's what Ozzy just said. Thank you, Oz. I think you've officially crossed the line. My clitoris joke was in good taste, but this is in horrible form. And Ozzy, what about that wicker casket that had one small sausage roll in it, one small little cheese log in it that I said, let's leave in the room, and you said, no, I want it, and then I found it in my driveway this morning.
The cheese?
No, the basket. Remember, we're cleaning out the hospital room?
Okay.
I said, Ozzy, I don't want this. Leave it. And you said, I want it. Now you brought it home.
I pick it out today. Remember the time I come back to the hospital for pick it out, you know, the Natalia?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I put it down.
All right,
for
so you're going to take it.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Please
get
do.
It today,
this is amazing. Ozzy, to go out on the weekend that the twins come home and help out his friend Ace. And with the World Cup, he's on cloud nine. If you remember, he's not from this country, Adam, if you don't realize that.
No, you're not from Glendale?
No. So he's like the rest of the world, thrilled about the World Cup, and he still went out and did his job and saw the movie.
Spent the whole day helping us, setting up. Yes, Ozzy.
I don't remember.
You don't remember where you're from.
Yeah.
I want to say this, too, before we get to Ozzy's review. My wife, you know, people are like, well, is it tough now? Because your wife has to get up in the middle of the night and go feed the kids and take care of the kids and everything. How's that for you? Is it screwing up your sleep pattern or anything? I'm delighted by it. As I've said, it's all relative. If you could go to bed, you know, we get up at an ungodly hour to do this goddamn show.
Yes.
But it's all relative. If I had a guy sleeping in the bed next to me who got up an hour and a half before I did every morning, I would be happy as a clam. If that alarm went off at like 3:15 in the morning and some guy just sat up and went, ugh. And I saw him get out of bed, I just think to myself, you poor son of a bitch. And I would smile, and I would happily saw logs for another hour and a half before I had to get up. It's all relative. My wife getting up at 3 a.m. to go feed the kids makes me happy. It's a relative thing. As opposed to how it was, which is her and the dog not going anywhere until noon, and me dragging my sorry ass
so
out of bed.
So by that logic, then, you should be even happier because your wife gets up, but then she gets up because the babies are wailing hysterically.
Yes, yes.
I got it better than Sonny does.
It's great. Speaking of great, Ozzy.
Hi, Aaron.
You ready to do your movie review?
Yep.
All right, here
I'm
we go.
Ready.
Oh, that was the end. We didn't change it. All right.
Go. The movie I saw this weekend is A Private Home Companion.
Mm-hmm.
The movie star Woody Harrelson.
Mm-hmm.
As Dusty.
Dusty.
Dusty, the cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Lily Tomlin as Rhonda Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Jones is Assman.
Assman?
Yeah, I don't know which
I rented
his name.
That while my wife was in the hospital. Assman?
Assman.
Is that from the circus bookstore?
I wonder if Yergi brought a copy of Assman with him.
Assman.
Axeman?
Axeman.
Oh, okay. All right.
Meryl Streep is Yolanda Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Kline is Guy Noir.
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 Yeah.
And Lindsay Lohan is Lola Johnson.
All right.
This is the more cute person in the movie.
She's the cutest.
Yeah.
She's better than the ass man.
Oh, God.
A lot hotter than ass man. Yeah, okay.
This film is the history for one big famous radio show after 32 years in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Finish it.
Mm-hmm.
One night in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Wow. You could announce for their hockey team.
I remember Paul. All the fans filled into the Fitzgerald.
What? Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald Theater to see the famous show.
Right.
This show is controversial and improvising and only play with the time. All is improvised. WLT radio station is sold to Texas Conglomerate.
What?
Conglomerate?
Conglomerate.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Don't yell at him, Brusca.
Mm-hmm.
I learned two things in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One is the reaffirmation. Everyone to their time to die.
Mm-hmm.
If they die, you can refuse.
No, wait a minute. What is that? What did you learn?
One is reaffirmation. Everyone has their time for to die.
Everyone has their time to die. You had to see this movie to figure that out?
Yeah.
You couldn't just go to a cemetery?
Oh, yeah, man.
Or think about your grandparents?
Some angel coming in the radio, you know, and picking out people, you know, for taking the last trip. It's to die.
Oh, sorry, I just went out to lunch for a second. What happened?
I don't know where to begin with that one. Yeah, here's the thing about when Ozzy butchers his sentences, they're usually like a nice decorative dish that fell on the floor and broke into three or four pieces. I can get some glue
together
and piece it together.
Right.
This is one that's been crushed by steamroller. It's just powder. I don't know where to begin. There's certain ones I can't reassemble.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is more than 100 pieces. So you learn that everyone dies.
Yep.
And then what?
You can refuse.
You can refuse.
Refuse to die.
You don't have to die.
Yep.
All right. Well, put me on that list.
Me too.
And the second is something new for me.
Mm-hmm.
What the elephant asking to naked man?
What did the elephant ask the naked man?
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Go see the movie, man.
Oh, I see. Ozzy told me he was going to do that joke yesterday when he was leaving my kitchen about 6 p.m., but I told him, save it for the air. Let's keep it fresh, buddy. Mainly because I couldn't understand him. I want him to
leave. That's a very good one. That's a very good one.
The movie had too much country music.
Ah, yeah.
In the end, I'm Pride Home Companion left this reviewer cold.
Strong, buddy.
Can I let you know how much Prairie Home Companion made at the box office?
How much?
Came in number 7. It grossed just over $4.5 million. Yeah.
I guess that's considered respectable for that. No. Disappointment?
Yeah.
Do they expect movies like that to do well?
I don't know. It doesn't look good to me. But it's actually only in 760 theaters.
Yeah, so that's doing well then, right?
No. Doing relatively well. I wonder what the budget is for things like this. Yeah, I know. Does Meryl Streep get $4 million, or does everyone take a cut just to work with the people they get to work with and do what they get to do?
I think it's one of those.
Okay. Zach?
Yeah?
Ozzy, what?
Let me say something, you know, over... Say thank you to you, the production to this show.
Mm-hmm.
To in special, you know, to Casanova Limousine, in special to Gino, the owner.
Gino.
You know, for bringing the limousine for my kid for the prom.
Oh. Yeah. All right. They did that for you.
Yeah, he's taking a very good time for my kid and the friend.
Okay.
Nice. Thank you, Gino. Okay. Thank you, Casanova Limousine.
All right. Anyone to thank anyone
thank you,
else?
Everybody.
Panasonic or Jiffy Lube? Or Quiznos or anything.
Thank you, everybody, for putting your commercial in this radio station. Thank you. We'll continue.
All right. We need to take a break. Zach?
Yes?
You have a question about the movie I'm going to do during our break?
Yes, sir.
What was your question?
Well, I was noticing that you were casting for it, and I thought maybe I could ask Kiss Rhodey on my way into an audition.
Well, we're all casted up. I'm going to shoot a movie over the summer, but we do need folks. There's going to be lots of scenes where we need bodies around. You get fed. You get to see how the movie's made, maybe even get in on it, or certainly get into the camera if you don't get a speaking line. So if you want to go to our website, what is that, adamcarolla.com? Is that our website?
AdamCarolla.com.
Go to AdamCarolla.com if you're interested, and it'll tell you.
Well, I do it every day, Adam.
Oh, well, thanks. We'll do it again. Stop bothering me. All right. Jurgi is in the porn entrepreneur.
The guy
also,
we talked to on the phone. Who's working at the porn. He's not working at the porn star. He was trying to shelve some of his titles.
Right. He's going
to
do battle. He's going to do battle with our anti-Christian porn, our Christian anti-porn activists. Coming up, but first, we're going to do a little spin on a popular game we play here on the show. We all know what can't Adam complain about. This is a game that's sweeping the nation. Mm-hmm. I now, because I'm a father, and I'm now seeing that the glass is half full, I now love life. I now embrace life. I will continue to complain. It's my livelihood, but we're going to do a little twist on this game called The Bright Side. You call in 866-901-ADAM. You tell me your problem, I will put a positive spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just got divorced, maybe you just got fired, maybe you got herpes. I will tell you why you're in a better place than you think you are. I will make you feel better about it, and it will work. 866-901-ADAM. Call in. I'll put a happy spin on whatever problem you have after this. Go, just another step.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You are listening to one of the most brilliant raconteurs, one of the most great... Hey, this is Phil Hendry. You're listening to a man who slept with my wife. And yet, I enjoy his radio program, Adam Carolla. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. This cat can bowl. Adam Carolla. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. Are we even getting close to anything here?
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Danny Bonaducci. Please call Adam Carolla at 1-866-901-ADAM. Ask him if he's got bail money.
Yeah, this is my song. Tracy, picture the Ace Man.
Yeah.
Fashionable leather jacket slung over the shoulder, holding onto it with only one finger.
Oh, I see
it. Wrap around shades.
Yeah.
Moving in slow motion down a busy sidewalk.
Stunning.
Manhattan. Women turning, looking. Foxy
wind,
chicks.
Wind
hair. Long mane flowing in the breeze and bouncing. Slow motion.
We can see your pec muscles moving.
Pecs up and down. Moving in time with the package. An undulating
left
mass.
Left to right, left to right.
Unsprung weight, we call it. The giant mass moving in slow motion. Boots, slow pan up from the boots to see strong chiseled chin. 2 days worth of growth just defining
the
chin.
And then the camera comes by, you know, goes behind you and watches your buns going.
Slow motion, that's
each
right.
Cheek going.
Package peeking through on the downstroke in between the buns.
And we can see your circumcised.
Hard and firm, sure.
Worst selling gay porn of 2005, by the way.
All right, where were we? Yes, we were going to play a round of The Bright Side. It's really the second cousin or the forgotten sibling of What Can't Adam Complain About. This is You Tell Me Your Woes, and I tell you why you shouldn't complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
I will find a rainbow to your dark clouds. It'll be like a Skittles commercial over your head when I'm done with you. But first, Teresa Strasser calling in from New York. Teresa?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, T.
How you doing? How are the babies?
They're doing well. Thanks for asking. Teresa is in New York right now. You're doing Good Morning America?
Yes, I'm actually on with my co-host, J.D. Roberto. We just taped Good Morning America. It'll be coming on there around 8:15.
Uh-huh.
Robin Roberts interviewed us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's a lesbian, right?
She didn't ask for any dating advice. That's
just,
all I'm sure of.
Let's just say she didn't ask for a lot of dating advice.
By the way, so it's 8:30 our time, and then the show comes on tonight on ABC at 10 p.m.
That's right.
All right. And what else? What can you tell us? You'll be back tomorrow.
I'll be back tomorrow. I can tell you this. We drove up to the ABC studios to do Good Morning America, and, you know, they send a limo and everything, and there's just, like, hundreds of tourists lined up in Times Square, and they see a limo, and they know that we're going to Good Morning America, and we get out of the car, and I've never seen more disappointed tourists.
Yeah.
The collective sigh of who the hell are they?
Yeah, the red carpet thing when you do some MTV thing every once in a while, you get out of the town car, and everyone has the collective,
It was like cameras going back into pockets so fast, and a lot of Swedish tourists that were like, what is with the Jew? That is not the Brangelina.
That's what their thought bubble said, but
that's
they didn't actually verbally
not
say
out
that out loud.
Hey, Teresa.
Yes.
This is Dave Damashek.
Hi, Dave. I miss you.
Oh, and I miss you. Listen to this, though. Bruska is over here.
Yeah.
He's holding up cards to me to try and make trouble between you and Tracy Metro, who's sitting in the news seat.
Tracy, doing a great job filling in for me. Thank you.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Wow.
Tracy's doing an unbelievable job.
And listen,
let me tell you, I've sigged out with, and that's Teresa's news.
Yeah.
I'm not stealing your thunder, honey.
It was a nice.
Damashek, tell her.
You're borrowing my thunder.
Tell Teresa that Tracy's passing gas in a chair. It'll be hysterical.
Tracy, did you pass gas in my chair?
I have not.
I think she has.
Are you wearing orange?
No.
She's black not and wearing white orange. That's right.
Are you wearing orange, Ms.
No,
Strasser?
I told you what my signature color is.
Blood.
No love loss between these two proud news warriors.
I will tell you, I emailed her. She didn't email me back.
I meant to, but I'm too busy doing it. Tracy, I'm doing Good Morning America.
I know. Hello. You're big stuff, girl.
By the way, that was a dig.
Teresa, not to put you on the spot or anything, but then you get an email from the woman.
Yo.
What was that about?
Well, here's why I didn't
explain who this person is first.
Remember the girl who wrote the book and I said that she's subliterate and she probably had a ghostwriter?
Right. Tracy's best friend.
College roommate. Get that right.
She wrote me a 2-page email of vitriol.
Really?
I can't imagine why.
Well, Jimmy hung up on her and Jimmy said something like, talking about Tracy and her, that those are the two most annoying voices I've ever heard, and he stopped the interview. And then I believe he said Tracy should never come back again.
Oh.
Well.
He didn't say that.
Well, he thought it, but he
didn't
say it.
But you know what? No one else could come in on Monday at 3 a.m., so I guess I'm here.
Well, yeah, deaf frat guy told us to F ourselves.
Well, I actually wrote an apology to that woman because, you know what, that was kind of mean, and I felt bad, and I wrote her that I was sorry, and it was one of those things where I took the high road, and I apologized. I said, sometimes in morning radio, in the spirit of fun, you know, things are said that are hurtful, and I'm really sorry. And instead of taking the apology, I got another 2-page letter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did it say?
Well, she was mad at Jimmy, she was mad at me, she was mad at everybody, and then, you know, she said, well, maybe I'm just going to have to thicken my skin.
I heard the exchange you guys had. Teresa comes from the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah.
Her dad is a mechanic.
My dad's a liquor store owner.
Right, but we figured out that he drove an expensive automobile.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, well, my dad drives a bicycle, and I wish I were kidding.
Was he one of those naked environmentalists over the weekend?
Nope, just doesn't manage his money well.
So look, women. I've heard my wife talk about her friends long enough. I know women don't like each other inherently.
I love Angie, the news producer. I love Lindsay, your assistant.
Really?
Yeah, love them both.
All right, I won't fire either one of them. They were this close. All right, but not a fan of Tracy Metro.
No, I like her. She's just, you know, we're very different.
Oh, my goodness. Those are fighting words.
I don't want to add passive aggressive day.
I don't want to add fuel to the fire. I know you're riding high over there on Good Morning America.
I'm
going to be
on
network tonight, but Tracy's doing a wonderful job. She really did a good job for us this morning.
Even with the annoying
voice,
you know?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, we remember them. We remember the digs.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, this is getting ugly. And I got to say this, though. Nobody can just step in here and fill Teresa's A cup.
That's fair.
And you've done A/B cup. You've done a good job, Tracy. But, of course, you're missed, Teresa, as well. Not by Tracy. She hopes the plane goes down.
Well, No one has to miss her. We can watch her tonight on the big show.
That's right.
Has Tracy asked when my contract's up today?
Have never asked such a question.
I thought we agreed no contracts.
I'm sorry.
Well, the point is if you see somebody as the plane is on its final approach at the LAX tonight or tomorrow morning, wearing orange, holding a shoulder-mounted bazooka, that will be Tracy Metro. Get the right flight this time.
Exactly.
Because the damage you did over Long Island a few years back, that turned into a debacle.
Exactly.
All right. Rachel Perry was not on that flight, as it turned out. All right, T. We will be watching at 8:30. We will be watching tonight as well at 10 o'clock. Praying it's bad, and then we can make fun of you tomorrow. Come on, let's face it. Everyone in radio hates everyone in TV, and when someone from radio tries to go to TV, you hate that person that much more. Yes? Thank you. The more you know.
You went the other way.
I went from, I went from radio to TV, and I'm now back in radio. I was the only person I knew in TV that really wanted to get back into radio. Just think about this as a dude. Makeup applied on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Hair on a daily basis.
I don't like hearing these massive rationalizations, Corolla. You're better than that.
I couldn't stand it. How about that? How about having makeup? And by the way, back me up, news girl du jour.
Yeah.
makeup never truly comes off. You women just apply it the next day. You can do this.
In your skin.
It's in your skin. 2 months after your last stitch of makeup was put on, you can take a little pad, you can put a little rubbing alcohol on it, and drag it down your forehead, and it will be brown with makeup.
Isn't that disgusting?
It is.
But it makes us look pretty.
And now, wow, that's crazy. Now look at me. Sweatpants, house slippers, and wood. And no makeup at all. All right, we're going to take a break. I think we got to take a break. We got to get back on time. And then we will play a spirited round of Mr. Brightside, the antithesis of what can Adam complain about. You got problems. I'm going to make them seem like less of a problem. Thank you. And I'll be more articulate than that when I do.
We hope.
After this.
There's more coming up.
Adam Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Hello, this is Lenny Leonard, you know, from Moe's. Call Adam right now at 866-901-ADAM, and don't hit him in the eye.
All right. Well, yeah, 866-901-ADAM. The antithesis of what can Adam complain about. I had kids, and now the glass is half full. I see the world through new rose-colored lenses.
It's turned your world upside down. For the better, though.
And let me tell you this about those kids, too.
Tell us.
Twins. They just came home yesterday afternoon. I come home. I'm not radio star Adam Carolla. I'm not, hey, that guy was from the Man Show. They ground me.
When the kids see you, they know you as
a
celebrity.
They just, all they know is I'm daddy, and they want their
daddy
baba.
Ace.
They don't want an autograph.
No.
From their old man.
They just want a hug.
They don't want to sing a Ziggy Saki or leave an outgoing message on their phone machine. I'm just dad. It, you know, to those two kids.
But that amazes
me. It's
so
grounding. It keeps me grounded.
That's right. They want
That's
swaddling.
How I stay grounded. Yeah, they don't know I'm a comedic genius.
No.
They don't know that I rule the comedy kingdom. All they know is their diaper's wet and it needs a change. And they don't care that it's Adam Carolla, a superstar, doing it.
Nope.
No. That's what keeps me grounded.
You are a humbler dude now.
When I look into the eyes, the collective four eyes of my two twins, and I don't mean one of them wears glasses, I'm making fun of them. I mean, you know, there's two kids.
Right.
Four eyes, they look up at me. They don't see radio genius.
No.
They don't see comedy inspiration. They just see Dada.
Papa.
And they want their papa.
That's it.
And the answer is no.
That's right.
Because papa's got something called TiVo.
That's right. And your Wang.
And my Wang. Thank you. I love when blowhard celebrities explain what keeps them grounded. Sure, matinee idol, good looks. Sure, the multi-million-dollar paychecks. It'd be easy to spin out of control, but then I have a three-year-old who doesn't see my movies. Those are NC-17. He just knows me as dad. Oh, really? He doesn't know you as your character's name you play on the soap? He knows you. Really? Interesting.
But that's why they go and do the animated film, so that their kid can see them
my
do
kid.
Something.
Yes, that's right. My kid. I hope my kids don't become a fan of anything, so I don't have to do anything when they get older. All right. Or if they do, it's Fritz the Cat. Because I like to do something with a little edge. It's animated porn from back in the 70s.
All right, now you got a new game done.
Yes, where were we? New game. You call in, you tell us your problems. I'll see if I can't put a happy spin on it. Here we go.
Do you got problems? Want to talk about it? Give Adam a call, and he'll cheer you up.
So spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face.
It's time to look at the bright side with Adam Carolla.
You know, the kids, they don't know me as a multimillionaire with a fabulous head of hair. All they know is that little mobile that wound up and turned circles over their crib needs a winding. And it's time for me to pay a Latino broad to do it. That's all they know. That's all they know. That's all. They don't know me. They don't know about the radio. They don't know about the genius.
The upcoming movie.
They don't know about
that.
They don't know. They don't know. Yeah. No, they don't know. Oh, they'll know soon, though. You're goddamn right. They'll know soon. Marie. All right. Punched
she has no
her
problems.
Up. Try that again. Marie. Off to a flying start. Tad, do you have her booted up? No? Okay. I'll try it one more time just because. I'm that way. Marie? Also, people use fake names and then they don't respond to the fake name. Why would you? Yes?
Yeah.
All right. We will. And it's important, if you do use a fake name, use a nickname or something you'll respond to. If your name is Larry and you say, oh, call me Jake on the air, I don't want the wife hearing what I have to say. Then when I say Jake, you don't respond. Do it to something you're familiar to responding to, like douchebag.
Right.
I would always respond to that. All right. I'm going to screw Mary and go. You know what I'm saying.
Not,
oh, now.
Not literally.
Tad says she's ready to go now. Mary?
Hi.
Where were you, baby doll?
My name is Mary, and you said Marie. I thought you were talking to somebody else.
Apparently, Big Tad can't spell.
Hold on a second. Didn't I say Mary, or did we straighten it out?
No, Tad had Marie on the screen, and you said Marie, and that's why she didn't respond. So I hate to blame Ted.
Jesus Ted's Christ.
Well, I think the retardation is shared by two here.
Yes.
Marie wasn't close enough for Mary and Ted.
And
inability
I know
to
I was supposed to put a happy spin on whatever you're goddamn calling about,
right.
But you should rot in hell. You should die a horrible, fiery death.
Stuff.
And really, someone should strap you to one of those pallets and just put you in a giant rocket sled and drive you right into the ground.
This game's not off.
You should be buried
start.
In 1,000 coffins.
Remember, glass half full. Glass half full.
I don't
full.
Care. This
it's
bitch is
mantra.
Driving me nuts. I yelled Mary 10 times. She's now saying it's Marie. Oh, you should be drawn and quartered in the center of town. I hope a rusty piece of rebar goes through your temple and exits the other side, but you don't die. You have to be transported to the hospital with the rebar impaling your skull.
Maybe,
it can't be removed.
Maybe, this isn't your sport. You know, Shaquille O'Neal's great at basketball doesn't mean he should be a hockey player.
I've had an ass full of you too, Damashek, your subpar sport. All right, maybe we got off to a tough start. Let's see if I can rebound here. Marie, Mary.
Yes.
Which one is it now?
Mary.
It's Mary.
Yes.
All right, Mary. Go ahead, Mary. How can I cheer you up?
I had to put my cat to sleep on.
Good. I hope it was done with the channel locks. They did it with needle nose pliers.
Oh, that's terrible.
An ass full of all you.
Happy face.
All right, let's try it again. Mary?
Yes.
You put the cat to sleep?
Yes.
Well, you got to look at it this way. All cats do is sleep anyway. This is the ultimate nap.
There you go.
You know, it's like you get to do what you love full time now. Dave, you love watching Steeler sports?
Right.
Instead of just waiting for the football season to come around or putting aside a couple hours on a Sunday, now 24/7, 7 days a week, never ends, never goes out of season. The permanent, all-inclusive nap.
I like it, yeah.
The nap you never awake from. What better life could you have as a cat than death?
I think you came out of the gate brilliantly with that one.
They're strong. Yes.
Amazing.
Philosophical.
Exactly.
The cat is doing what it loves. You know how they do that thing where the guy's parachute doesn't open or something? And they go, he died doing what he loved. He died doing I'm guessing he didn't love it at the time.
Exactly.
But he died when he found out the goddamn chute wouldn't open. Maybe he wasn't so in love with base jumping at that point. But the point is the cat is now doing what the cat loves. He didn't die doing what he loves. He's now doing what he loves through eternity. Napping. The forever nap. It took a bold woman to put down a perfectly healthy cat so that the cat could forever do what he loved. All right, Mary?
Thank you for that.
You feel better now?
Yes, thank you.
And he's with whoever else died before him. All the good
all the
people.
Other cats.
The cats, the grandparents, all that stuff. All right?
Willie Stargell.
What was the cat's name? Willie Stargell's in hell. I don't want to start up with you, but listen, we've argued about this before. Pop Stargell's down below. Sorry. What was the cat's name?
Bell.
Well, now he is playing his bell next to St. Peter and his harp.
He's ringing his bell.
Whoever played the harp up there. Yes, I guess he's ringing his bell. Thank you. There we go. Let's see. Let's talk to Daniel.
Yes, sir.
What is the problem?
Yesterday morning, I backed over my son's dog.
No.
Well, we're having a pet theme here. Well, first off, you backed over the dog, which is a lot better than hitting it head on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? For you.
You didn't have to see it.
You're an evil person if you just run over a dog. But if you back over it, obviously it's not intentional, even if it was. And you say your son's dog wasn't your dog.
No, I bought it for him for his birthday. His birthday was on the 3rd, and it was a puppy.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's a double-edged sword, the backing over the puppy. The bad news is it's a puppy, just started its life. It's dead. The good news is no rim damage. It's a small car. It's not going to hurt the 22 Dubs.
Also, because it's a puppy, it really doesn't know what it's missing.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It didn't know what life had in store for it. What kind of pup was it?
It was a Rottweiler.
Okay, listen, let me explain something. That Rottweiler would have jumped the fence and teared the face off a neighbor kid in 2 short years, and you would have had to mortgage the house to pay for the lawsuit. All right?
Okay.
It's a good thing what you did. I only wish there were 2 Rottweiler puppies you could have backed over. This is a great day. All right?
Thank you very much.
All right, and next time, get your kids something safe like lawn darts or something. Something you can't back over. That's the whole thing.
Okay.
All right, buddy. There you go. Feeling better. The dog would have caused a lawsuit at some point.
Sends a message, too.
Right.
You know, stay in line, kid, or the same will happen to you.
Right. That's right. I told you to move that big wheel out of the driveway. Now you got trouble, mister, because I let my wheels do my talking. A lot of guys let their fists do their talking. Daddy lets the good years do his talking. All right, let's see. Let's talk to line 8. Justin?
Yeah.
What's going on?
All right, I have 2 kids with my wife. Just found out she had an affair, and now she's a stripper.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get to watch your wife strip. That's exciting. Is she working at a strip club?
Yep.
Some fresh meat coming to stage 2. Justin's old lady. Don't mind the stretch marks and the C-section scar. She's doing some dancing now. Recently stepped out on the J-Man's, banging a buddy from work. 2 kids at home crying themselves asleep. Quit your grin and drop your later. Jade, stage 4. Blah, 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 blah. Japanese businessman's lunch coming up on Tuesday. Open buffet. Come on down. Randy, stage 1. Randy. Hey, it's Justin, fresh off a divorce and hot for action, fellas. Tipper, tipper, right. Sit on your hands up there, buddy. Don't make me call the bouncer. Hey, I got one of those beards that I shave in a way that hides my double chin, and I'm wearing a fanny pack. Who wants to do some blow? Hello.
Justin must feel better now.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I feel actually good.
All right, but look, here's the deal. How old are you, Justin?
I'm 23.
23.
Wow.
At a certain point, the bones will not heal after a devastating break. At 23, they can be reset, and you can still go on to play again. You understand? You made a mistake. The chick's a little nutty. She was molested. Now she's going to go, instead of the therapist's office, she's going to go work it out on stage over at McThirsty's. Fine. Cut your losses. Don't make the mistake twice. Learn and move on. This is how you become strong. You overcome adversity. You still have your 2 kids, right?
Right.
She won't get custody of the kids because she's now stripping, right?
True.
And look, better she did something. You know, there's nothing worse than when you guys part ways. You've seen it in the movies. And you always that nagging thing in the back of your head. You know, maybe we could have worked it out. Maybe we should have worked it out. She cheated. She's a stripper. Fine. She's dead to you. Move on. Learn. Go gay.
Okay.
Go gay.
And those strippers make a lot of loot, too. So no child support on your end.
Right.
You know, she can, you know, dress the kids.
All right?
All right, brother.
And listen. Do not make the same mistake again. You're 23. Do not get married until you're 30.
I'm never going to get married again. It sucks.
Fine. Take this time to do some soul searching.
Yeah.
All right?
All right, brother.
All right. There you go. One more. Let's see. Let's talk to Joe. Joe?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
All
Yesterday, I was in the garage in the morning getting ready to go to work, and my girlfriend decided, we live together, we have two kids together, she decides to come out, and we were arguing the day before, been having a rocky relationship for a little bit. Anyway, during the argument, I asked her to leave me alone, and she wouldn't, so I decided, you know, I kind of give her a little push towards the door, nothing hard, nothing violent. In return, she turned around, kicked me in the nuts, punched me in the nose.
All right, kicked in the nuts, kicked in the nuts. All right, but just kicked in the nuts. You didn't back over your own nuts like I did this morning coming out of the driveway. It can happen as you get older and if you have asymmetry like I do. So just kicked in the nuts. And what was she wearing? She wasn't wearing a steel-toed boot, was she? She was wearing, like, espadrilles, right?
She was wearing just shoes.
All right, so kicked in the nut by a girl's shoes. You're fine. First off, you have a garage.
Yeah, thank God for that.
A step up from a lot of folks that rent, you know. They're down in a parking structure or in a garage. And here's the deal. When your girl does something bad to you, now the onus is on her. If she didn't kick you in the nuts, you would come home from work today. She'd be PO'd. I remember one time I played softball. I got drunk. I didn't come home. My girlfriend got PO'd. I was standing at the foot of my bed in the softball uniform, and she whacked me in the face. And as I was falling back onto the bed, still wearing the cleats, I thought to myself, good, because I'm drunk, I'm over this mild beating I just took, and now she's going to go in the other room and have to think about it. I can come out, nurse this into a meal, possibly even some oral. The onus is on her. This is over with. It's behind you now. Otherwise, you'd come home, she'd be angry, she'd be stewing, you'd be buying her flowers and candy. The quick kick in the nuts, no problemo.
And she feels bad.
She feels bad and now owes you.
Yep.
Thank you. That's how it works. That's how we look on the bright side. Yergi?
Hey.
Yergi is the guy we pulled out of the porn store in the 7 o'clock hour.
Nice to be here.
Good to have you, Yergi. We're going to do a little bit of a battle with the Christian anti-porn activist who's calling in. And I wanted somebody on my side who could help me out. I know you're a producer in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. Check out my new title, Anal Romaniacs.
Anal Romaniacs. You're Romanian?
Yes.
And you've been producing porn for quite some time?
Yes, I have.
And this is your bread and butter?
It's my bread and butter.
It's at least
many,
your butter,
many
right?
Many hot new titles.
Right. What else do you have for us?
I got Paint My Chest in Bucharest.
Oh, I like that
I
one.
I like that. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
How about Eat My Goulash 6?
Oh, 6. Yeah, I saw 4 and 5. Yeah, I haven't seen 6 yet.
Stuff My Cabbage 11.
Not seen that. I'm getting hungry and horny.
Stuffed cabbage is delicious.
It is delightful. All right, so Yergi is here. Again, we called serendipitously. We talked to Dante, who's over at Circus Books, the porn store. Yergi was just checking on some of his stock, and we decided to call him in since it's just up the street. So, Yergi, you'll have my back when we get this anti-porn activist on the phone to do some battle next.
It's crazy to be anti-porn.
Yeah, I know. It's like anti-American or anti-Romanian.
It's anti-life.
It's anti-life. Yes, it's bigger than just anti-fill in the nationality here. It's anti-life. Porn is life. Life is porn, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It's lifeblood of planet Earth. It's what makes humans who they are. It gives us meaning.
You should do a documentary and get Al Gore to do the VO on
yes,
it. Yeah?
That's, tell you, it's, to me, it's a convenient truth that porn is, you know,
strong.
Yes, it's powerful, it's alive, vibrant.
You're passionate. I like that. And also, I can see passionate about jewelry. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Yergi, the porn producer, and we'll do battle with our anti-porn Christian after this. You got a question for Def Rekka?
I got a buddy that's throwing a 3-kegger on Friday night. I got to go to traffic school on Saturday morning at 7:30.
Pull it all night up. Where does it say in the U.S. Constitution that there's a law against going to traffic school with it?
The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Dunedin, Florida. A 22-year-old man called 911 saying he and his father were arguing because he had not done laundry and was playing video games. The father pulled out a gun and shot the computer monitor. He was charged with attempted murder. Definitely not a Jew.
I missed that from the 70s. Watch those football games. Nice to have it back.
Just as good.
All right. Yergi, who is a porn entrepreneur, is in studio. We found him serendipitously over at the porn store this morning. Decided to bring in and back me when I argue with the Christian anti-porn activist, Rob Patterson. Quickly, before we bring Rob up on the phone, little argument during the break. We were talking about people having these arguments. Who would win in a fight, you know, a bear versus a lion? Dave Damashek chimed in and said, I can't stand these hypotheticals. The worst is the people arguing, these folks. Darth Vader or Predator? Who would win? That is the worst. And then he pauses and says, of course Darth Vader would win.
That's right.
I thought when you pause, you would say, these nerds waxing on endlessly about things nobody cares about. But you pause and said, of course Darth Vader would
win. That's right, because there are dopes out there who say, well, Predator would beat anybody. He could beat Darth Vader. Listen, Darth Vader has a little something called the Force.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
maybe
yes.
The dark side, but it's the Force nonetheless. He could hold Predator at bay as long as he wanted to.
I was just thought for just a fleeting moment you were going to say these adolescent arguments shouldn't continue amongst adults, but...
You thought wrong,
you said
Mr.
Darth
Cool.
Vader would
he would hold him
ass.
At bay 50 feet away. Predator could never get close to him. He would just choke him.
And then when...
From a distance.
When right. like-minded nerd Brian chimed in and said, I agree. Dave said, you're goddamn right. I would have had to... show you the business end of the lightsaber if you didn't, yes? There would have been huge argument if he would have picked Predator.
Are you waiting for an apology?
No.
Just keep waiting.
All right. All right, so where were we? Yes, Rob Patterson is on the blower. Rob?
Yeah, good morning.
Anti-porn activist.
Something to that effect, yes.
Now tell us about your background.
Well, I'm a journalist. I run community newspapers in the greater Louisville area.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now a program director for an organization called Warline, War Against Rape, Let It Never End.
Mm-hmm. Let the rape never end? What's wrong with rape?
No, the war against rape.
Oh, let the war against rape never end.
And let it never
but that
end.
But that
right.
would mean that, but that's like saying the war in Iraq, may it never end.
Well,
you know what I mean? It should end, yeah.
Yeah.
But you think that porn is a leading cause of rape?
No, I don't. But the police reports and the sexual offenders who we also work with say it does.
They always talk about gateway things and stepping mm-hmm. stone things, and they do it with pots. Like, they say, well, everyone who gets strung out on heroin did pot first, so therefore pot leads to heroin, but... I don't necessarily agree with that. Every guy I know watches porn. Only half of them are rapists, maybe less.
Yeah, well, then you got to sort them out. That's a little difficult to do at times.
Well, I just say this like it's a bad thing. Like,
Yergi, rape is, we do frown on that in this culture.
No, Adam, listen. The husband watched the porno, okay?
Right.
Then he gets excited. He mm-hmm. raped his wife. Then they have child. She right. grow up. When she turned 15, she go in porno. It's a circle of life.
First off, you gotta be 18. This isn't Romania. And that's Yergi, by the way. He is he makes these movies you protest against.
Oh, okay.
They're Romanian.
What about peaceful rape?
Well...
Yes.
No, what
peaceful
we protest
rape,
against, basically...
Date rape, things like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They, the things that are egregious to us in mm-hmm. the area of what you called us about, an area called Uniontown, Indiana, mm-hmm. and it's in Jackson County, Indiana, about 40 miles north of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened up there, it made national news, unfortunately. There's so many of these that make national news, nobody can figure out who's who anymore. But we had a little girl. This is a small town of 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
And a little girl by the name of Katie Coleman was abducted, raped, and murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And in a town like that, it is just unbelievable, the grief. And these are people who, you've heard of towns that are so small they don't lock their doors.
Right.
People in this town don't have locks on their doors. I mean, it's just been the most
right.
quiet. Yeah.
What does that have to do with the porn industry?
Well, what happened is Lion's Den opened up right about this time. And
That's the porn store.
Yeah, the Lion's Den. Mm-hmm. There's a chain of them. Now, one of the things that we object to is they sell what we call virtual molestation porn. Mm. And what we call that is the actresses who are 18 or allegedly 18, mm-hmm. But let's just give it, you know, for the sake of argument, 18, but they dress them up like 10 and 12-year-old girls. Mm. Pigtails, freckles, Catholic schoolgirl outfits, direct them to act like a 12 or 13-year-old girl.
Right.
And while they're sexually subdued by a host of men, and this particular place that we're protesting has 480 titles of it, Tri Team Number 1, Tri Team 27, et cetera.
Right. It's like that barely legal stuff. You don't like that stuff.
Yeah, and, well, this is even worse than barely legal in our eyes. And so, in one of the scenes, I mean, there is a girl that looks remarkably like Katie Coleman. Mm-hmm. And which is especially egregious. And then, of course, there's all the gangbang series and all
right,
that.
Don't you dare attack my gangbang series.
Yeah.
How dare you.
But we're a town of 50 people and no police.
The nearest police station. Where is this town, by the way? And you don't even have Barney Fife working there.
No
locks on the doors. 50 people, and they open a porn store there.
Yeah, and well, they located there. They wanted to have a. They want to do. It's right off I-65, which is a main.
They were looking to get some trucker traffic. All right,
yeah,
but
let me.
Can you do me a favor and check to see if my title is on shelf there?
If what now? Your title's on the shelf.
I want to see. I got new title. Tranny Sylvania 6.
Well, I haven't seen that one. We've got Granny Something 6, but I don't think I remember that one.
Please. No, this is different. This is with woman, big breasts, and penis.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of those kind out there. Maybe a different title.
By the way, don't mean you're gay if you're into that.
Right. Now, you're talking from personal experience, or are you trying to move some copy?
Straight sex doesn't do it for me anymore.
Really? Well, you're burnt out.
Yes.
Pleasure zones have been burnt out.
It's like a cinder.
Right. I think from what you describe, I think you probably doubled your chances for a date on Friday night.
Yeah.
At least. Hey, yeah, because not only do you have men, women, but you have trannies and post-op and pre-op trannies, too.
And everything. All right, and one of the things, of course, in a rural
community. Let me do the morning radio. You do the Bible thumping. Thank you. Okay.
By the way, Bible is filled with filthy sex, no?
Song of Solomon, yeah, you need to take a cold shower after that book.
Yeah, but there's no pictures of it.
No, there's no pictures, no. But they describe it pretty good.
All right, but let me... Last Supper was like one big gangbang, no? What? Trinity Divines, you know, one thing goes to another...
No, I understand.
Last Night at Earth, you know you're going to have a good time. That's all I say.
Rob, let me ask you this seriously, though.
Yeah.
What about when people play violent video games and then go out and commit murders? Do you believe that we should outlaw the video games?
Well, you know, kind of great that you asked that question. We had that happen in Kentucky, which is actually where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there was a boy there. His name is Michael Carmen, I believe. And that's exactly what he did. He got hooked up into those games, and then he did come out and kill a bunch of kids at a local school.
Yeah. There's always going to be stupid people who do stupid things.
Right.
I mean, there were people murdering people, raping people, and abducting people long before they had the porn stores or the video games. Don't you believe?
Not to this degree.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, here, for example, regarding the video game thing, the video games came into play in basically the 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the school shootings back in the 50s or 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm not saying that because of one thing leads to another, but that is something you need to look at.
Well, you are implying that. But again, the school shooting, you know, the number of guns in circulation, the number of children that come from broken families, the number of people in the United States. I mean, in the 50s, I don't know, you know, there's 300 million people here in the United States now. In the 50s, there was probably 100 million people.
About 100 and nearly 180. In 1963, we hit the 200 million mark.
Wow. Well, you do know your population stats. I do like that about you, Rob. All right. I will give your website out. I wanted to hate you, but you're not obnoxious.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, now, some of the people up in Union,
I hate them.
Some of the customers think a little bit differently.
Well, you laugh. You know, I'm an atheist. You're Bible thumper. I love porn. You hate porn. But you're sort of likable. I got to admit.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not the fact that, you know, everybody has his own choice. But the way that to make porn constitutionally correct is that you put them in areas. And in Jackson County, they have 75 locations they can legally go to. Mm-hmm. But they choose to go to this location, which is illegal according to the codes and everything, which is typical of what porn does.
Well, look.
We do, as you call back again, I'll tell you some really exciting, really filthy, dirty stuff we do.
Really? Like what?
Well, we do glory hole stings, among other things.
Hey, now you're talking my language.
Those are a lot of fun.
That's that's a tough detail.
What?
Yeah, it is. And we
go
do
there
that,
with garden shears. Or
wait, hold on a second. That's got to be tough when the captain calls you into his office. Okay, listen. I got an assignment for you. You're going deep cover. What am I playing? International drug lord? Not exactly. What am I playing? Some professional athlete that's looking to score some juice? What? You're manning the glory hole. Now get busy. We're going to wire up your ass, and you can hit the glory hole.
Got to go sting some glory holes.
How does the glory hole sting
Romania,
go?
That's like great career.
Well, oh, really?
How do we do a glory hole sting?
Yes.
Oh, it's, of course, everybody, I guess the terminology is the same from one across the country to the other, but you know exactly what it is. So,
what a glory hole, yes. Listen, the gay pride parade was in.
Hey, and I
was on the glory hole float
females,
this year.
We go into a peep show booth and basically sit down and...
put
and
a lobster
then,
bib on.
Here, yeah, well, no, but we have considered we have considered doing some things with tasers and super glue, but thought better of it. And
again, I'd like to hate Rob, but I can't.
And we, when the other fella slips it through, we take a picture, and then we follow the guy and get to where he gets to his car. We call him up, say, "Call the picture. You're doing this, and we're going to prosecute." And we've had about I don't know how many prosecutions, but they've all been successful. And it created the idea in Louisville. Finally, the health department forced the porn stores, and we got a whole lot of them in Louisville.
Sure,
and the close them all up for health. One of the people we caught had AIDS. Uh-huh. About one in seven who use a glory hole have AIDS. And we took pictures, and on the sides there's feces and blood and semen and stuff all over the place.
Do you ever?
I mean, you walk out of there, your shoes are sticky.
Do you ever see a penis you recognize? Like, hey, that's the mayor.
No, haven't seen one. Of course, I don't keep track of penises. So, you know, I don't look at very many except those that come through glory holes.
Right. Sure, you're no gay. You just stare at the hundreds of penises that come through the glory hole on a daily basis.
Well, it hadn't been 100. It's been about a dozen, but yeah.
How does the glory hole work at the gay bookstore, though?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
We've got, well, you know how they work. You slip it through. Yeah.
Right, but who's supposed to be on the other end of the thing?
Well, a person that either wants to perform oral or anal sex.
Uh-huh.
We not only have pictures of penises, we have pictures of really. I don't want to look at that right after lunch. I want
to
say.
Let me say this to those who are constructing glory holes. By the way, don't go with the 3/4 ply. That doesn't leave a lot of business at the other end of it for the ace man. You go with the 3/8 of the 1/2 inch. You know what I'm saying? No reason that stuff needs to stop a bullet.
You know. Yeah. It is funny,
well,
though.
And also, in Romania, know, the thickness takes away from distance, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's right.
Yeah, that's what you're saying,
I'm
right.
Sorry, Jurgi. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to tell Rob, in Romania, glory hole, this means something totally different.
Oh, really? What is it?
In Romania, glory hole is when you take a piece of wood, cut hole in it, and put penis.
Call it. That's what, yeah, no, we share the same glory hole.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Confused.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So, Rob, you go on a glory hole stakeout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done those. And
listen,
we need to get Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss back together for a third stakeout.
This time
it's a glory hole sting. Yes. Thank you. Rosie O'Donnell, what are you doing? You're back, baby. It's a third stakeout. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Yergi.
I'm getting worked up. This guy is, he's PO-ing me.
Really?
Yes, I mean, he act like he victim.
You're
all these people, victim.
Mm-hmm.
What about us? What about the little guy trying to make, an honest dollar in important business?
Well, yes. If you're a little guy, you shouldn't use a glory hole, especially the 3/4 inch.
Wow.
Shecky Green.
I know.
I mean, I gotta have a little space for the picture, fella.
All right. Okay. So you take a picture of the guy's penis and you follow him out to the parking lot.
Listen, I struggle. Yeah. I'm businessman. I come from Iron Curtain.
And then get his license plate number, and then we trace that, and we call him.
Oh, my God.
And then we prosecute him.
Oh, 1 minute. You're just going out to on a innocent glory hole run, and the next minute you got this guy following you out to the parking lot. I would stab you, by the way, if you approach me with a picture of my penis in the parking lot.
Well, no, we don't approach it at that time. They don't hear about it until they get a phone call and charges have been filed.
All right. I don't know if we're allowed to say that. Oh. We can't say anything. Rob, hold on a second. We're getting beeped out left and right. All right, Yergi, I know this man's trying to dry up your life's blood and you don't appreciate it. We need to take a break. Yes, Yergi.
Please, Rob, check out my last title, Backdoor Balkans. 89.
Wow, you're doing well. Rob Patterson, war-line.com. It's the war against rape, everybody. Check it out. Enlist in his army. Those of you who are formerly in the KISS Army, get out of that platoon and join up in the rape army. All right.
Rape gets a bad rap.
All right. We're going to take a break. Yergi, thanks for coming in.
Okay.
We'll bring you back next
time.
Glad
to help.
We have to do battle with someone who doesn't like porn. Then what do we got? News and sports coming up? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
What do we got to look forward to in the news?
Oh, my gosh. So much in the news. Well, we've got some scoop about Teresa's show. We have a review.
Uh-oh.
I'm very excited about that. I have not seen the show.
Okay.
I'm just going to be reporting on it.
Read the horrible thing someone wrote. That's all you do.
Got some Brangelina news, of course. And Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger. That bitter, bitter custody battle.
He's a dear friend of mine, so I'll be able to comment on it.
Excellent.
How
much for Angie?
Angie?
The producer.
She can't be bought. You have to give her two beers and then you can film her having sex. But she has too much dignity to take money.
Two beers.
Okay. Two beers. Two, yeah. Two and a half
it's
beers.
Good price.
All right.
She has good teeth.
Yeah, she has good teeth. Yeah, she's strong. All right, we'll be right back after this. I'm a celebrity. Yes, a C-lister, but a celebrity. I will have a couple of children. If I, at any point, 2 years from now, decide I'm going to sit down and pen myself a children's book,
right.
I want you to attack me with a folding chair.
There's a lot more coming up, so stay here, or there, or wherever you are. Just don't change the station. It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, oh man, I tell you what, man,
hey, what's up, Adam? And I was just calling to let you know, I don't know what I was talking about.
You have lots of characters on your show. We want to see if you want some fitness character on there with a Greek accent.
Didn't sound Greek, though, did it?
Not at all.
Sure would be hysterical. But no one can replace the actor that does Ozzy. Gerald Smith, the guy plays Oswaldo Castillo. That guy,
I think he may be Australian. Don't let them look behind the curtain, Adam.
Oh, really? Oh, I shouldn't have spoken about it.
No. Let him believe that he's a real guy.
Okay. All right. I thought we were going to just be upfront about things, but okay. Well, maybe I said too much. We have some news. We have some sports. First, we have some phone calls. Marco.
Yo.
You were laid off.
Yeah, actually, I was laid off this morning.
Mm.
I'm a carpenter over here, and I work out, L.A. County.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I've been listening to your show for a while, ever since you started or whatever. And then, 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago, boss has a radio on the job site, I've been listening to your show and everything. And then one day, the radio just disappeared. So I was like, okay, brought my own radio, just because, got to listen to something. Listen to that. Then, he tells me, hey, we can't have the radio on the job site, it's bothering neighbors and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, fine. The guy's pretty conservative guy, so I'm probably just getting offended by you or something.
Yeah, I probably didn't like the whole glory hole thing we did 45 minutes on in the last
part.
Yeah.
So I just thought I started bringing a Walkman, you know, and I figured, I don't see what the problem is there. And then this morning, he was just like, hey, you know what? This isn't going to work out. We're going to have to go ahead and let you go and whatnot. So as of this morning, I'm currently a laid-off carpenter.
And it has to do with you listening to this show, or is it just because you're a horrible carpenter? Because I can find out if you're a bad carpenter or not.
Well, actually, I've only been doing it for about 3 years now, you know.
Shocker.
And, you know, I think I'm pretty good. I'm always on time, always there.
What kind of carpentry do you do?
We work on mainly, like, historical homes. We worked on, like, Victorians. We did a lot of historical restoration.
All right. Tell me... I'll start easy. The difference between quarter round and base shoe.
Quarter round and base shoe.
He doesn't know.
Don't know.
I don't know. Base
molding.
Shoe, I told you.
What's
I
a corbel?
I'm not like.
What's a plinth block?
I've only been doing it for 3 years, you know? I'm basically just his handyman who he told to go do this, go do that.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I have found with almost every job, somebody announces what they do, and then as soon as I start scratching their lotto ticket just a little bit, it turns out that's not really what they do. Even with that, I've walked into the cockpit of commercial aircraft and said, "So, you're a pilot?" "Yes, I am." How does it work with the engaging? I really just sit here. I'm a seat warmer. I don't actually fly airplanes. I mean, is there anyone who has a job where you start fishing around and they actually tell you what? How many carpenters have we had, so-called, I'm holding my hands up in quotes, how many carpenters have we had call this show in the last 6 months? And then the second I ask them one rudimentary question about being a carpenter, they admit they're not really carpenters. They just got lunch. They man the glory hole and make the run to Mickey D's. Not simultaneously, of course. That's all they do. Marco.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. You're working on old Victorian homes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a few more questions. You should know some of this. What's the difference between baseboard and casing, the stuff that goes around the doors?
Baseboards are obviously the molding that goes around the floor, and the casings are everything that's...
But how could I tell the difference between the two if I was holding a piece of baseboard in my hand and a piece of casing, which goes around the doorway, in my hand? How could I tell one from the other? They're both molding. They're both flat.
Well,
if Tracy Metro, the woman in orange... who looks like you're staring into a Sunny D bottle. If she gets this answer and you don't, Marco, you are going to have to kill yourself. Now, go ahead.
My guess is the thickness.
Wrong.
Damn, really?
You dodged a bullet there, Marco. What is the difference?
Probably the width, I would say.
So,
a lot of times.
Yeah,
but it depends because you can...
What is the difference?
What is the difference exactly? Nothing, I guess.
All right, here's the deal.
What's the difference?
Baseboard, which goes against the floor,
right,
will have one edge that's sharp. It's not rounded over.
Right.
It's just cut sharp,
flat, so
90 degrees. It's not broken, as they say, the edge. The casing, you'll notice, that goes around the door, the outer edge of two sides will be rounded over and broken.
That was a rookie mistake
I
made.
You have the sharp edge that goes along the floor.
I did all the construction on my house. I should have known that.
Marco knew nothing.
Yeah, and he gets paid to do it.
Well, not anymore.
That's right.
I think he got S-canned, not because he listens to this fine radio show every morning, but because he, in fact, knows nothing about being a carpenter.
I agree.
Marco?
Yeah.
The good news is when you look for your next job, it doesn't have to be in carpentry. Because it's not like you know anything about it. That's the good news. You can go ahead and be a flight attendant or work at a car rental place.
It would
be
no radio show too.
It would be no loss.
Yeah.
It's not that easy, my friend.
Yes.
Listen, I'm weaseling my way in here, and you see how hard I'm working?
We make it look easy, but it's really difficult. All right, Marco, good luck finding a gig.
Take it easy, buddy.
All right. Well, and by the way, he kept saying, "I only did it for 3 years." Look, you could be a dentist in 3 years, for the love of Christ.
Yeah.
3 years is, I would argue, 40 hours a week. I mean, here's the thing. You may go to school an hour here, hour there, a couple classes here, a couple hours there. When you go to work, you're going 8 or 10 hours a day. 40, 50 hours a week times 3 years.
And if you're not soaking it in, maybe it's not the right profession for you.
Good point. All right. Now we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I promise, news and sports.
I have got, and I'm not jiving you, the worst possible news for me.
Dave, there's a rumor out of Pittsburgh.
No, it's not a rumor. It's fact.
The reason Dave was so silent during my jag there about carpentry is he's been on the computer for the last 15 minutes trying to substantiate.
No, it's fact. Ben Roethlisberger, well, number seven.
You've been trying to. Now it is substantiated.
Substantiated. Number seven, the Super Bowl hero.
Right.
Was riding a motorcycle around Pittsburgh, PA without a helmet on, and he flipped over his handlebars and he went into a windshield. Oh my God, I'm sick.
All right. And his head may not be right. All right. Dave, you want to just go home now?
I think that would be best, not just for me, but for the show.
Yeah, but I mean, in general? Or just,
yeah, yes, in general.
All right, we will get back to this breaking story, also news, after this.
Hi, this is Harry Sheriff. This is Principal Seymour Skinner.
This is Lenny Leonard, you know, from Moe's.
This is Reverend Lovejoy.
This is C. Montgomery Burns. If you call Adam right now
at 866-901-ADAM
and tell him I sent you,
it will be excellent.
There's a lot more coming up, so stay here, or there, or wherever you are. Just don't change the station. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm Andy Dick, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. And I have a little FYI. I was conceived in a Corolla, not Adam Carolla.
Yes, but the day is young. Robert Knepper is coming in. He's a teabag from Prison Break. We'll talk to him in a moment. First, we have news and then breaking news in the world of sports. So let's hear from Tracy Metro with the news.
Here we go. Storm Alberto, which is the first tropical storm of the 2006 season, has just been upped, just as we were on the air right now, has been upped to a hurricane, and the winds are in excess of 70 miles an hour.
All right.
So there you have that. In the ugly custody battle between Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger over their 10-year-old daughter, Ireland, the judge wants a psychologist to evaluate Alec to determine whether he's fit to spend more time with his daughter. And the reason why is because he's been suspected of turning her against her mother, Kim Basinger.
Talk about gene pool, though.
Gorgeous.
You take a look at Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. You forget Alex put on a couple of pounds and got into politics and things like that. But take a nice look at Alec Baldwin, you know, when Alec was 35 years old.
Good
and you
looking.
Go, wow.
Very.
Jeans, yeah. And she
talented.
She is stunning.
Spectacular.
Dear, dear friend. Both
so
of
what's
them.
The inside scoop?
Well, I know Alec Baldwin is beside Jimmy and now, I guess, Jurgi, my only two celebrity friends. And, he's a tough, I mean, he's a blowhard, and he's a loudmouth, and he has opinions up the wazoo, and he's one of these guys that's a great guy to hang out with, but I could see going home to him every day might be a little tough.
Like enough.
She,
no wonder you don't have more celebrity friends.
Yeah. I have one, and I call him blowhard.
Speak so nicely about the one
Did
you
I mention
have?
Jimmy's fat and has a hairy back? And his breath smells of old socks. No, here, okay.
Such a good friend.
Alec Baldwin is a great guy, entertaining guy, a funny guy, a talented guy, and no one better to sit around and chew the fat with.
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand, and I think we all have this opinion about some people we know. If you married them and went home with them every day, it would be difficult.
Yeah, one night is good.
And she seems nutty. She seems certifiable. So between her nuttiness and his sort of over-passion for life, I could see there being trouble in that relationship.
And the poor kid's caught in the middle.
But hot.
What, you think? Little Ireland? Ireland?
There is no God or no nature or no mother nature if that kid is not hot. When you take a look at his seed and her egg, it's mathematically impossible for that kid not to be piping hot.
I don't know.
The more you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'll come back to you because Demi and Bruce Willis, you know, not all their kids are like as spectacular as
she isn't exactly great as God created her. Bruska, leave her alone. She's
harassing me, isn't
she? Well, she's had a boob job and a nose job and a whatever job. You know what
I
mean?
She looks damn good.
She's had work done. Yeah. All right.
If I was a lesbian, I'd do her. All right. One more thing to tell you about. Today, The Hollywood Reporter has a review of Teresa's new show.
Hold on. You're not a lesbian?
I know. Damn.
Bruska, take 20 out of this wallet right now. And my apologies. Sorry. Go ahead.
So the Hollywood Reporter has a review of Teresa's new show, How to Get the Guy. Now, for anybody who the show is airing tonight, so I'll give you the premise of it. The premise of the show is to assist four single ladies in securing and maintaining a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa was just on GMA, Good Morning America, and Robin Roberts called her Carrie Bradshaw. Listen.
Carrie Bradshaw. You're considered like a Carrie Bradshaw, of course, from Sex and the City.
That's right. Well, I'm about twice her size with half her shoes, but I am a singles columnist. I write about my own experiences. Every dating mistake you could make, I've made it, written about it, processed it, and hopefully the girls can benefit from many of my dating tragedies. Mm.
Okay, very funny. Now, I'm just going to be giving... I love her. You know, she's... what did she say? She's... Half as many shoes
as Carrie does,
right.
and Dave is so distraught and caught up in the Steeler news he said Terry Bradshaw and went off on a tangent about that during the commercial.
Okay, so I will be giving the review, not my review, Adam, the review that I've read in the Hollywood Reporter and other such publications.
You're just the messenger.
I am just quoting. I am quoting here. Mm-hmm. It has been called a mite trite, even more than mite. Teresa and her partner J.D. Roberto are, again, I am just the reporter and I'm quoting, they are a stereotyped pair of cloying love coaches who witness the ladies speed dating and give them critiques such as, quote, show me more vulnerability, drink fewer dirty martinis, or drop the hanky and send out signals. And, according to Damashek, he read this in the Entertainment Weekly. It was given a D+. But on the bright side, I will say that Teresa looks fabulous in the publicity photos.
Very big.
Look
of
at
you.
This.
Very big of you.
You didn't have
she
to do that story.
Implying that she's unattractive in real life.
I didn't say anything about Bruska's. D+ on air. I didn't say that. I didn't go to air.
Bruska.
Of all the news stories, you picked that one.
I did. Yes. Yeah. I wasn't. Hey, everyone. Here's the drop from GMA.
The Hatfields and the McCoybergs.
All right, exactly.
Let the feud continue.
Two Jews kill
each
other.
Two Jews. Okay.
That's right.
All right, Dave Damashek now has to do his sports.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Wow, the worst possible news.
Hmm.
Number 7, the Super Bowl hero, Big Ben. He went over the handlebars of his motorcycle into a windshield. I don't have much more to say.
Dave,
they don't know. The Steelers,
very broken
the
up
Steelers
by
aren't saying anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are other sports happening, but do they even matter?
No.
This one goes out.
Riding a
seven.
Motorcycle with no helmet. People warned him. Coach Cowher said, don't do it, right? Yes,
yeah, he told him not to.
Damashek's number one.
I want to send out a song to number 7.
We're from the town with the great football team. We're to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I've seen it on the news right now.
My heart's not in it.
Injured motorcycle accident. Well, I'll tell you who I blame. I blame the people who tried to talk him out of it, coaches and family. You put a pox on him when you said, don't take that motorcycle, it's too dangerous.
Oh, Seven, what were you doing without a helmet on?
All right.
Now, was it
ironically,
long?
A guy wears a helmet for a living.
I'm not going to talk anymore.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Oh, sweet irony.
Okay, we're going to take ourselves a break. Dave, please recover. We need you.
Don't give me false pep talks.
Yeah, you're right. I had thought about it. I realized
you overstepped the line.
Okay, you're not horrible at sports. Please recover. They've downgraded it. Robert Nepper's coming in. He's none other than T-Bag from Prison Break. We'll talk to him right after this.
Right now on The Insider, therapist, start your engine. Corolla has twins.
It's my job to tell you that you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. That was easy.
Robert Nepper in studio. T-Bag from Prison Break. Second triumphant season returns this fall to Fox Monday nights, 8 o'clock. Mazel tov to you, T-Bag.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
One of the bigger hits, I'd say, last season, Prison Break.
It's nice to have a job, man. It's nice to have a job.
How about a job, though, where you play a guy named Teabag? Were you hip to teabagging before you were known as Teabag?
I had a distant cousin who was in prison in Texas, actually. We're going down to Dallas for our second season, and I called him up. I said, listen, as an adult, I realize there's two things people don't want to talk about. One is Vietnam, and the other one is prison. So if you don't want to talk about either, it's okay, but I just got this part. And we spent a half hour going over the script, and he said, yep, that's in there, and that. And then finally he said, you know how you got the name Teabag, right? And I said, no, I don't, actually. Can you tell me? And then he explained it to me, and now I know. Flatter. I think I was the only guy in Chicago that didn't know what teabagging was.
The more you know. Yeah, what do we need Trump telling you about secondhand smoke for when we could have Robert Knepper telling you what teabagging is? New York Magazine called him the best villain. And speaking of things I enjoy... Ugly transition there, but you build mission-style furniture? I'm reading on your thing.
Beautiful transition.
Yeah. I got up early.
You're a furniture guy yourself, right? You like wood?
I build cabinets and things like that, but I haven't built a lot of furniture, but I like a guy who works with wood.
Yeah. Yeah, I work a lot of hardwood. I like a lot of oak, a lot of walnut. Also, you know, for a guy that never really studied it, right angles are really good, and that's mission-style furniture, so and it's a lot of pegs. So
I built the doggy style furniture, by the way. A little more advanced.
You enter the couch from behind? Or?
That's right. Oh, please, teabag.
It's all teabagging and related stuff.
It's got to go there. Got to go there.
Now, can you tell us anything about the new season?
Nope.
Anyone get killed? Do you,
nope.
Do you anything?
Nope.
You should break out?
Why
would
I want to give you a Christmas present early? There's no way I'm going
to
tell you.
You know, there's it's one of these things. It's like the Hickory Farms over at the mall. You have to give out little morsels of the kielbasa to get people in the door, but you can't give them the whole sausage.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Teabag, do not give me the whole sausage.
I'll tell you this.
Come on.
The beginning of the season when I was walking around Chicago, people would come up to me and say, can I hold your pocket? Can I get a picture of you with your pocket out? And now it's like, hey, what are you going to do without your hand? So at least we went from the pocket to the hand. I will tell you that I did find a home for my family in Dallas, so the chances of Teabag surviving without one hand are pretty good.
Right. So you relocated.
Relocated to a less snowy area of Dallas, and we'll deal with the hand. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sew it back on, or they'll lose it, or give me a mannequin hand or something like that.
But you're not going anywhere. That much
I can't
can say.
Definitively tell you that because then I'd get in trouble. But like I said, I
moved the family.
I did go to Dallas to find a house.
You're not renting.
They may kick me out, you know.
Right. We need to take a quick break, by the way, just because we're running behind this morning. Robert Knepper in studio. Prison Break. You know him as Teabag. Coming back to Fox, 8 o'clock Monday nights. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
The more you know, the more you listen. The Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Brittany, you're the St. Pauli girl.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone has seen the Sierra Nevada girl. Butch lesbian. Hairy pits. Thick tree trunk legs.
Breska?
There's only one. Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Robert Schimmel. I might be dead, but you're not. And you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, man. Where the hell did the day go? Robert.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, we're plumb out of time.
I know.
Dave talked too much about Ben Roethlisberger.
He's going to live, at least.
He will live.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah. By the way, what kind of guy who's the essentially the king of Pittsburgh rides around on a motorcycle with no helmet? Doesn't everyone just go, hey, there goes Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, let's go follow him home. I mean, what I mean? Forget about protection. How about anonymity? Yes?
He's a schmuck.
I'm not in a place to answer questions.
All right, Dave can't answer. Robert, perhaps you could answer that.
Born to be wild.
I like that. Finally, somebody who answers in form of song. Prison Break, everybody. Second season returning this fall to Fox. Mondays, 8 o'clock. Robert Knepper, thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome.
We will be tuning in to another season. And, oh, no time for thanks. Def Frat Guy tomorrow. And also Celebrity Nerd Off tomorrow. Till next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.